Trip talk bits. Come on, join the call. Got it. I got it. There he is.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Woo. Thank god.
There y'all.
Thank you, Scott.
that was annoying.
Let's play Microsoft for everything.
That's what that plane that you built. The AI's name should be Skype.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I've already got names, but we'll see.
Oh, I mean, that's fine.
We'll see. It's all, you know, I'm doing this.
Or it could just be an insult in the world. You call someone a Skype.
No, we could. Oh, yeah. No, I'm all for that. Sure. We could call him like a Skyper. Could be like, you know, the worst insult. Call Bester a Skyper and he'll like unload on you with his hammer. All right. Well, and during that time I've called my work and yelled again. And it's probably going to come back around because I told them, anyway, there was yelling. So I told them I refuse to talk to a technician. I will only talk to an engineer because I've been burned before and we'll see what happens.
Oh, this should be fun.
Yeah. So that's probably going to blow up in my face too. So
how bad could it get on a Saturday night?
I don't know. We'll see. So I poured myself some more Black Barrel and we're moving on. All right. So what did I say we were going to do? Oh, that's right. We're going to
tie all this stuff together.
We're going to tie all this stuff together. So, what I thought we would do, and you guys give me feedback. We've kind of talked about it. There is the free version of this system is pretty complete, actually. Surprisingly complete. Making my Kickstarter pledge seem, I don't know. It is a really nice book, so. But I don't know. I don't regret this Kickstarter pledge, even though it was a shit ton of money. But the book is really nice. But the free version gives you a lot. Like, you could do a lot with the free version.
Also, it takes up shelf space.
That's true.
I did buy the full version of the PDF.
Nice. It's worth it. Well, you know, because, I don't know. The extra stuff is pretty good. I will definitely, be reviewing this on a future RPG podcast. I kind of already did, but I wanted to wait until I played it to really review it. All right. Oh, here it is. All right. So you guys, I think everyone kind of knows. So I'm going to do some summarization of, you know, the history of space.
Place
to. Yeah, so just to kind of
get
us all.
It's really, really big.
Yes. It's like, it's almost as big as the ocean. anyway.
Only that? Slightly less west.
That was on the podcast. Dave said that. That's what, it was actually an interesting comment, but if we take it out of context, it's fun to make fun of him, but yeah. Cause he learned.
Well, it's always fun.
World War II Pacific games taught him that the Pacific Ocean is big. Oh yeah, really? But you think, oh yeah, I know it's big, but it's fucking huge. I mean, yeah, anyway, it is huge. It's much bigger than the Atlantic even.
That is correct. You can look at a globe. And
yes, but I mean, there's looking at a globe and then there's realizing like, I can't even fly planes from here to here because they can't make it. But anyway. All right, so. I will do some paraphrasing and summarizing. I will try and make it sound decent. I will probably read one little section, but we'll see. So, this game is set in a world where, you know, it starts from kind of our present Earth, and maybe 100 years in our future. Basically, something called the spike drive was invented. The spike drive is your classic jump faster than light drive that allows you to travel interstellar distances and with the typical kind of traveler type, you can go one sector, which is I think a parsec, who knows what it is.
Isn't that a time unit?
Yeah, that's right, the Kessel run. Exactly. But In a week, right? So it's a method of translocating ships from one place to another. So that's invented, great, and we start exploring. Humanity starts expanding. It's still, you know, it's tough to build ships big, and, you know, so we just kind of expand slowly. But what it turns out that happens is when you're on one of these ships that's jumping through this whatever dimension they're jumping through, there's some fraction of people that have some sort of mental resonance with this dimension that you're going through. And that's when the psionic abilities are uncovered. And what do they call it? It's MES. I forget what MES stands for. But right, these people develop, these psionic abilities and initially, basically, they don't know how to control them. They go crazy. But eventually, after this happens enough, people start to learn that there's ways to control these abilities that kind of manifest itself when you travel through, travel using these spike drives. And over the next hundreds of years, what's developed is you can train these people. They can be basically psychics, and then they developed the way to make jump gates. And this was the big thing that just opened up the galaxy for humanity, right? So you would have a jump gate that would be controlled and stabilized by these trained psychics. And a jump gate is exactly like you would see in science fiction, right? It's a big circular hole in space that when you go through, you come out at another jump gate. And so immediately you can start having agricultural worlds that supply the industrial worlds, and the industrial worlds no longer have to have their own food supply. Because with spike drives, all you could have is small ships. You couldn't transship, you know, enough grain to feed more than a couple hundred people. So, but if you've got slow barges of food and all the supplies, you send them through a jump gate and it's no problem. You just need inertial movement to get it through. So expansion goes crazy. So you have this core of worlds like Coruscant, right, where they're all industry and buildings and there's no agriculture. And then there's the supporting worlds. Well, then what happened in the year 2665? A massive wave of metadimensional energy washed over human space. Spike drive craft and metaspace were annihilated instantly. And in the blink of an eye, every psychic in human space immediately suffered the consequences of catastrophic psychic burnout. The majority died instantly, with a handful that remained raving in the grip of incurable madness. Later reconstruction placed the origin of the scream somewhere in the Veil Nebula, but no records exist of any successful investigation. Too much collapsed too quickly for any sort of exploratory expedition to be sent. Humanity was suddenly stripped of every psychic resource. Without living mentors, new generations of psychics could not be trained without recreating the entire laborious research corpus of the now-erased psionic authority. It would take generations to mold functional mentors out of the untrained mass of native psychics. There was no time to recreate the necessary training. The jump gates were dead, and the core worlds of human space collapsed with them. Countless colonies that relied on the bulk produce of agricultural worlds were left starving within months, their shipyards overrun by the desperate and ruined in the convulsive fighting over the few remaining spike drive ships. There was no possible way to feed a world of millions with the limited freight capacity of spike drive ships. Only the jump gates and their massive slowboat freighters could move such masses of cargo, and the slowboats were too big to be retrofitted with spike drives, even if they could cross the stars quickly enough to make a difference, which they could not. Echoes of the disaster rippled outward. The frontier regions were still too poor and too primitive to afford jump gates, so the worlds that remained on the edge of human space were forced to supply their own population with food and other necessities. Some of these worlds relied on small shipments of vital supplies from the core worlds. These luckless planets died when their mother worlds perished. Others were more self-reliant, but few of these had the necessary resources to build spike drive ships of their own. Those few worlds that were able to construct the ships struggled as their sci-tech became useless and their shipments of vital core world components stopped. Human space had collapsed into a welter of isolated worlds. Interstellar travel fell to the handful of spike drive ships that could be kept running on scavenged components and half derelict shipyards. The silence had begun. Okay, so that was about 600 years ago. So the scream basically, you know, was a huge collapse. And, you know, your characters, we are basically set in one of those fringe worlds that was, that survived enough to be able to slowly rebuild, right? So there were some worlds in this sector that may have relied on the core worlds, but were able to slowly kind of get rid of that reliance. And so there are places in your sector where, you know, spike drive ships can be built. But there's still a lot of technology. It hasn't fully recovered to the level of technology that existed before the scream. Any questions on that stuff?
That was beautiful, man.
Thanks. This little section of the book is what made me back the Kickstarter. I thought it was pretty good. Plus, there's other things, but. Okay. So, let's talk about, I was thinking we could do character introductions. So, we can just go in the order that we're in the Roll20 room. So, Anthony, you're going to be first, if that's okay. Unless you don't want to be first. So someone else, like.
That's fine. I wrote up a spiel in the bio that I can read. That's fine.
Okay. It doesn't have to be too long. But if you got something written down, that'd be fine.
You can read it if you want. If it's too long, I'll cut it, but.
Go ahead.
I don't know what you want to reveal.
You should only reveal, things you want to reveal. Some of the characters know you. I mean, I would talk about the connections your character has with the other ones, which we've set up before.
Maybe other people go. Pick up on them.
It's totally informal. You don't have to stress about it. Does anyone want to go first? I might volunteer
someone
you.
Someone else want to go, and I'll just before. Copy
sure, I'll
you.
Go.
All right.
You set us a template?
Yeah, sure. I'll be quick.
I'll send you
this is Trip. My guy's name is Breck Halloran. He is from the academic world. He's been a pretty good fixer and behind the scenes worker, good at connecting people, but sort of gotten increasingly frustrated as he watched a lot of people pass him by, and he's looking, despite the fact that he's really a planet-bound person, to go to space to try to really make his name and get some recognition. And that is his goal with getting together with you guys or my goal as we go out and really try to make some discoveries that can really shake up the sort of quiet academic world I come from.
Nice. All right. And what's your connections to the other characters, Breck?
So Breck has met, so has in the past, I'm going to screw this up,
it's okay.
But, I know.
You almost can't screw it up because whatever you say can become part of this world.
So, just in my past experiences, I knew a bit about Bester. We've run across each other a couple times, and Izo and I have had some dealings in the past, and I'd like to sort of keep those just between us.
Okay. I may ask you what they are, but.
Sure.
For now, that's fine. I don't need to know.
I might even ask what those are.
But I like it. No, and those kind of, that's the kind of connections I like.
Yeah.
All right. Would anyone, very good. Trip. Would anyone, who would like to go next?
I can do something.
All right. Give it a shot.
We have to,
you can. Go ahead.
Am I going? Or
yeah. I think Trip was talking to someone off mic.
That's my wife.
Yes. I don't want to be talking over someone. So my character's name is Kuro. She is on the run. So her only contact is Ezo.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex is going to fix up that pronunciation. Who's helping her get off. She's had an unfortunate past, which is probably realistically a secret to most people. She was a bit of a lone wolf for the last year, but realizes she just can't survive like that. So she is on the run. Her big goal is to keep running at this point in time.
So, and Trip, we can go back and do this too, but you know, is there like, do you guys have a sense of the physical description of your character? I have a sense because you post a lot of picture, Anthony, but you know, feel free to introduce, you should describe your character like, someone's meeting them for the first time, right? You don't have to give away like the secrets of what happened to her in the past, but like, what impression would I get? Oh, she seems kind of standoffish. She's really attractive, you know.
So she would be attractive, brunette, small, thin, athletic-ish,
okay.
But very, like, she's not very good at making relationships. Okay. She can if she forces herself to, but
she seems kind of distant when
she
you talk to her.
Yeah, she doesn't trust anybody. She's doesn't know who to trust.
Excellent.
Like she is very much a wallflower.
Excellent. And what connections does she have to the other characters?
So, Ezo, I think we discussed, was
right.
a cousin.
Cousin.
Which she's reached out, I think that's what we went with. Because I don't think brother fit. So we say cousin. And then she's reached out for help, and that's basically where the story was going to pick up from.
Right, right. That'll be scene one.
Pitch.
And was that her only connection? I'm trying to remember.
Basically, at this point.
Okay,
I mean,
that's okay. All right, excellent. All right, who'd like to go next?
I can go next.
All right,
since we're
Bester.
Talking about wallflowers. Let's see, where do we start? So, born on a mining world, controlled by a corporation. Think, if you remember the old song, 16 Tons, one of those planets. That means that you work and work and it doesn't matter. You're basically in debt for life. You're
mm-hmm.
never going to get off it. And neither are your kids. So, that's where he started out. However, they, overdid the mining a bit, which ended up, creating a bit of a disaster. And, Bester, together with a bunch of other people, managed to, let's say get rid of some administrative overhead and steal a shuttle and get off world before things went too wild. He later got rescued by Izo, who we'll have to make you someone introduction about that part of the story. Since then, I mean, he is definitely avoiding the owners of his previous employer, because they are not interested in seeing him around. But then again, he's, very good at punching people in the face. So that's what he does for a living. Bouncer, enforcer, collector of debts.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Very good. All right, Izo?
So Izo Tanaka is the kind of person when you first meet him that you want to not like because he seems too likable. You know, almost like kind of a cocky, friendly, like, who's this guy think he is? Until you realize he's actually really, actually quite charming and quite a nice guy. And even though you wanted to not like him, you end up liking him.
Mm.
Izo was, in the planetary navy for the planet he's from, the planet.
I can supply you with a name if you wish.
It's up to you.
I would,
whatever
so,
works.
Yeah, let me digress for a second. So if you guys in the main Roll 20 room, there's a little sector map you can see, right? So you guys are in the hex that I've put the red box around. And those are kind of political boundaries. That yellow greenish, there's a, what did I call it? The Dukes on, Duxon, and that wasn't even on purpose.
Dux on fire.
the Dexon hegemony. And they're the probably the biggest, you know, they control 8-ish worlds or so. They're a little bit repressive, but really, you know, they've kind of grown too fast to be, to fully, like, you know, there's still a lot of frontiers and they're still kind of expanding their reach. I think the government's a little bit conservative, a little bit of a, you know, you might be able to call it a theocracy. But they've been expanding so fast that, you know, they don't really have control over their whole empire. But they have a legitimate, space navy. And if you want, Izo could have been a part of that. Which would also make sense because we're on the edge of it now and, you know, then he might want to leave. Yeah. The Duxon Hegemony also has a scout explorer service, which will figure prominently into the beginning here.
Okay. So Izo was in the Navy. He was a pilot, and a pretty good pilot. And he was flying a small strike ship for the Navy. In my mind, it would be something that would be deployed from a larger ship. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a stealth reconnaissance ship. And, you know, the wild weasels of this mm-hmm. force. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a prestigious position that kind of the better pilots ended up doing that, because a lot of times you were out on your own. And I was out on a reconnaissance, you know, covert mission when I became aware of this disabled mining colony ship that was drifting into a asteroid field. And so I broke stealth, for lack of a better term, and initiated a rescue in violation of my orders. And that's how I met Bester Foyle and learned some things about him that maybe the listeners to this podcast will learn later on. That kind of initiative / insubordination normally would just, you know, get you a reprimand in your file and maybe some, you know, suspended duty for a while. But my commanding officer hated me because Izo, like, he really was intent on this career in the Navy, but there's just a little tiny part of him that's kind of a free spirit. And so he thought having a relationship with the woman that had a relationship with the commander would be fine. Why would that be a problem? So his commander basically used the opportunity to crap all over him, and his commander probably leaked to the media of this universe what happened, and there was some political ramifications because my ship was in a place it wasn't supposed to be because of some political things. So I was made a political example and run out of the Navy. And my family was horribly embarrassed. Really cost me my relationship to a great extent with my parents. I'm trying to earn that back. So I still wanted to fly, and the only opportunity to fly that was open to me was to join the scout service, which is very much, in my mind, the redheaded stepchild in comparison to the Navy. It's like, you know, people who can't get into the Navy get into the scout service type thing. Mm-hmm. So, so that's where I ended up going because I still wanted to fly. And the particular ship I'm on, you know, my captain, I think, recognizes, wow, this guy's like a really good pilot. So I probably have a little bit of leeway that you might normally not have. And we just happened to be at this world where I realized my cousin was located. And I realized her plight and kind of the first step of my redemption is to show my parents that how important family is, even extended family. So I'm going to help Kuro because I'm trying to repair the damage I've done in the eyes of my parents by helping my cousin.
Okay. Very good. I like it all. All good stuff, gentlemen. So
did you need to talk me to talk about why Kerr is on the run, or did you want to leave that alone? Everyone else is talking about the past. It's up to you. It's fine.
It's really more up to you. I mean, I know what her backstory is. Why don't you give it a little bit of flavor? Because Izo probably knows. And I would assume the other people in your party would probably find out. Yeah. So give us a little bit of that background.
So the short story is she was a facsimile of a geisha. She worked in a geisha house. It was same sort of thing as Nick's character is. There's a lineage. Her mother was a geisha. It's a close-in community. The thing about the community was it's on a moon. It's by itself. It's sovereign to itself. And other entities, corporate, governmental, military, whatever, would come there and use it as a neutral meeting ground. So it didn't answer to any governments or anything in the area. She worked there as a geisha and one day basically woke up and discovered one of her clients was dead in a room covered in blood. So she just got the hell out of there. And she knows that they're coming for her because it's their reputation's in big dramas. So that's
excellent.
Short of it.
Excellent. All right. So are we ready for the opening scene?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oops. That's not what I want to do. I want to do this. I want to do this. Oh, I need to put you guys there. I need to do this. All right. So we'll talk about the sector map. I talked about the Duxon. And I swear that was, it's D-U-X-O-N, I swear. And then it wasn't until I said it out loud that I realized, oh, that's pretty funny. I don't know, it must have been subconscious.
Right, that sounds so plausible.
It doesn't. Would I lie to you? No, it's not possible. Alright, so the ship that I took the liberty of naming the ship that Izo works on, and I called it the... there is a place to Gersh that I made for you, just saying, if you guys want to do that. I called it the Valkras, as in V-A-L-K-R-A-S. It is a scout explorer service. It's a corvette ship. So it's actually a pretty hefty ship. You know, it's probably seen better days. The scout service doesn't get the, you know, the top of the line ships off the Duxon Hegemony's latest shipyards. They get the leftovers, and you know they kind of are like I guess, I mean, we can go with this. I like Rex's idea that they're kind of the second class. Maybe there's still a little bit of esprit de corps there. You know, they kind of have the mandate of you know, it's an expanding empire, so they want to know what's around them. So it's kind of like a little bit of a 5-year mission type deal for some of these guys. Maybe the Valkras is going to be on that. I don't know. It is just so, you know, I've said this a couple times, but I want to state it on the record in the recording, is I am purely running this. I've done setup like things like creating a sector, but I have no adventure path for you guys. We can go in any direction. It's a sandbox, and I'm going to wing it. So that also means that
Val Valkras again.
V-A-L-K-R-A-S, as in Valkyrie A-S.
Okay.
We kind of did this as a one shot. I definitely kind of, I hope I hand it, I think it's going to be, I mean, our first session we'll get as far as we get, and then we decide every time if we want to keep going, I say.
Right.
And I know it'll be, you know, for some of you guys, it's, you know, the time and meeting and stuff, but who knows? We'll just see what happens. So, the opening scene, you're on a spaceport. You're in the system in hex 0304 is called, I can paste this in. It's called Eris, and I didn't come up with the Eris Mabi. And the planet is Kel. Q-U-E-L. Whoops. Well, there it is. You can copy that. If I can figure out, there is a tool that I'm using that I got that map from. It's called Sectors Without Number. It's pretty awesome, but I don't want you guys to see everything that's in there, so I have to figure out. There is a way to hide things from players, so if I can get it working where you can only see the parts of it I want you to see, I'll share it with you. But it is pretty neat. And the planet is Q-U-E-L. And so let me do this. So that's where you're starting off. I got to drag the players over to that. And this is the spaceport.
Pretty.
Yeah. So we're going to also be doing, you know, so Dave started his GURPS, Thorn Gunslinger, campaign this week, which was awesome. You guys will want to listen to that because I don't know if I should tell you any spoilers. The spoilers are not around the plot. The spoilers are, how incoherent Dave is by the end of the night. the descent.
That bad?
He couldn't talk after a while, and he's RG. It was so funny. Anyway, you're gonna want to listen to that. That is must listen, Guild. So once we get that up, that's definitely a must listen. But anyway, but Dave committed to Theater of the Mind, and so I'm also going to try and do that. I do like maps, and I have this whole mapping software, so I'm probably going to decommit from Theater of the Mind, but we're going to start there. Sure. So Kel is
I think it has to be Theater of the Mind.
It seems to work really well from the system. And, you know, I did see you guys' requests, and I'm trying to work those in. But once again, it's a sandbox world. So I kind of, Rex, I think, is really good at this. And with the SCUP, you know, he's kind of thinking about scenes. And I love this part of GMing, kind of thinking about scenes. But then if you guys go off in a different direction, I'll have to change things around. Who knows? We'll have to see what happens. But I would like to try space combat. That may happen. I have some ideas. Who knows? And I have some ideas for things that could happen where you might wonder, like, wow, what does that mean? And I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. What does that mean?
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. Anyway, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. And so hopefully we'll all enjoy it together. So this is Kel. This is obviously this is a space station in orbit around Kel. Kel is a planet. That is a kind of a trading hub. It's been recently added to the hegemony. It's a little bit troublesome. It's one of those, it's almost a world that you could go and adventure on independently if you wish, because it's made up entirely of mega corporations. And there's a thriving kind of, cyberpunk, underculture that's always trying to subvert them, and the hegemonic control of the planet is really pretty minimal, but it's almost like a whole different cyberpunk world down there. Anyway, just saying.
Was Kuro from? Was she at this planet in her last situation, or is she?
No. So if you look in the upper right in the Google Doc, there's the purple, says the Lotus Group. That's you guys know that there's this system. It's kind of an independent system where this, you know, Anthony called it a geisha house, but it's really like kind of this, it's not a world, it's like a station, but it's kind of like this place where you can go and have services, you know, talking type services, given mm-hmm. to you, intense talking, probably,
happy ending.
Yeah.
For extra.
All right.
Maybe not, you know, I don't think Anthony ever meant it to be kind of lewd or anything. It is really truly kind of this very high end, you know, but, and then of course there's a whole, you know, that I think the perception everyone have is like, okay, you don't want to mess with the Lotus Group. Those guys are serious, right? So they've kind of got this, you know, there's a very rigid culture there. And, you know that, you know, if the Lotus Group is after you, there's kind of like a little Yakuza kind of underside to them, I feel like. But they kind of control that planet, or that system that's kind of off to the upper right there.
It's basically a moon.
Yeah, yeah. Where they are is a moon. There's a planet.
Dorm city. Yeah. It's like a mining town almost. It's self-contained, but they run everything.
Right.
And it's just basically a geisha house is the economy.
Right. There's another planet in that system that's kind of independent of them, but the Lotus Group, and I added that on. They're really in control, right? They're in as much control as they want to be of that system, right? They choose to let some stuff go through to the, you know, let the planet do its own thing to some extent because they don't care.
Well, like I said, the, whoever controls the Lotus isn't sane. they just have agents dealing. They call them the sisters that run things and as a public face. So their reach is far and wide. Mm-hmm. What that is up to the GM.
Yeah, well, I definitely got, I mean, you know, I think the players too, I think I get a little Yakuza kind of feel from them, right? But then there's, and, but it's all based, there's this, definitely this kind of rigid structure that's, from the, this floating pleasure palace. So it's interesting. Yeah. I like it. I'm going to leave it unfleshed out more than that for now.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's where Kuro's running from. But of course, the Lotus Group would, as Anthony said, you know, would have agents that could travel anywhere, right? So just keep that in mind. And then, just to tie characters together. So you have, you know, in the, Frid Alliance, it's a very loose coalition of a couple of systems. So the, Grumman Siemens Corp is one of the major corps in the sector. They have an office on Kel. But their main base is in the Frid Alliance, their corporate headquarters. Know them as kind of this big corporation, a lot of mining interests, a lot of sub corporations that run mining interests for plausible deniability. And then there's the place, you know, the mining planet where, Bester is from is in the blue hex there. 0104. It's in the Frid Alliance. So Rheinbahn, you know, there was a catastrophe on that planet and that's all you guys kind of know, something with mining. All right.
Let's go there.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go, but we're going to start off in a spaceport, right? We're in a spaceport. The Valkyries is in port. Izo has got his, shore leave. He's meeting up with, Kuro because he knows that she's on the run, right? Yep. And maybe, so, how you guys want to give me some thoughts on, like, do you guys randomly run into Bester and Breck, or was he also meeting up with them? I have some ideas, but I don't want to dictate this to you. I think this is a little bit open. So why are you guys are all, basically I'm thinking you're all kind of meeting in a spaceport bar. Is it random? Is it pre-planned? Tell me what you think.
What do you think, Breck?
I sort of like random. In that, you know, I'm in the bar looking to meet some people because I'm sort of feeling a bit despondent about my chances.
Okay.
And so now I'm sort of throwing it in, saying, "Hey, I've got to meet up with somebody.
Random works great. Yeah. We're telling a story, and you know, random circumstances, you know, make a good story. I like it. All right. So yep. Breck is just there, and you know Izo from before.
Yep.
So you guys see each other, maybe. So tell me. Izo, tell me, like, you're going to this bar to meet Kuro. Tell me what happens when you walk in.
Right. Well, and, you know, part of the deal with my captain is, you know, he gives me a lot of latitude, because I'm pretty good at wheeling and dealing, but even when I was in the Navy, I kind of understood the whole black market aspect of, you know, there's the formal way of doing things, and then there's just talking to people and doing things. So he usually stays on the ship, and he's like, this is what we need, and, you know, just take care of it. Make it so. And so he gives me a lot of latitude. But I knew Kuro was going to be here. I told her to come to this bar. This particular bar is kind of a place where, like if you're a crew person, if you have those skills but you're looking for a ship to ship out on, you kind of hang out there. Also, you know, words out, if you're looking for passage on a ship that's not an official passenger ship, but, you know, you're looking for just a spare bunk, you know, this is a place you can go, because a lot of times small merchants will, you know, defray the cost of their operations by basically, you know, letting somebody pay to fill an empty bunk space, to make it a little bit easier for them to make ends meet. So, you know, most people in this bar, they're there to entertain themselves, but there's usually a reason they're there. And so I told Kuro to meet me there because I potentially might be talking to other people. So I'm a little surprised to see Breck in there, but I see Kuro. And as I walk in, and I'm kind of scanning the room, and I've been here a few times before, so I know some of the people. Most of the people look like the type of people I would expect to see here. But I see a few men sitting in the bar that just don't seem like they really fit in. And they seem to be really interested in, like, watching everybody else in the bar. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a little nervous as I go up to Kuro. But,
okay.
And I don't really know whether Kuro and I have formally met in the past and like, or have really hung out in the past, or this is just a connection that we both know of each other and we've somehow connected. So I'll leave that up to Kuro to define. But I go up to where Kuro's nervously sitting and sit down, give her a good smile.
Yeah, Kuro would be sitting back to the wall in the least lit area, where she can see any entries. She'd be watching the door. She would have seen as I walk in. I don't think she wouldn't say much. She'd sort of just nod as he sits down, take a sip of a bitters drink. I'd imagine her relationship, she would know Iso, probably haven't met in probably 10 years when she got, left the Lotus Group, as a teenager, as a sort of holiday. So she would know Iso. She would have probably had to send a picture of him, a more recent picture to update, what he looks like. But she's probably only ever talked about the weather or something superficial like that previously with him. Okay. It wouldn't have been a deep relationship. But she knew he was in the Navy, and she needs to just be traveling. So
okay. Do you guys?
He's got a ship. That's what she thinks.
All right. So why don't you guys go ahead and what? So. Iso and Kuro, you're meeting in the bar. What happens?
Yeah. So I sit down, kind of put my hand on, so I can tell Kuro looks kind of nervous and apprehensive. And so I kind of, in a friendly way, kind of put my hand on top of her hand at the table and say,
and
Kuro.
She moves her hand back.
And Iso gets it. So he's like, I'm sorry. That was too forward of me, but, any trouble getting here?
No, you talk a lot.
Guilty as charged, I do say. Well, the good news is I'm sure we'll get out of here in a little bit, and I just have to find the right explanation to explain to my captain while you be joining our ship. But I'm comfortable. I can do that. He gives me a good deal of latitude, and you know I can't promise you for. A particular place we'll go, other than it'll be far from here. So hopefully that will let you put whatever your troubles are behind you.
For both our mother's sake, I hope this is true.
Nice. All right, so Breck, you're in the bar and you're looking around and you see and recognize Iso talking to some woman you've never met. What do you do?
A woman. So I eye the woman, try to get a sense of what she'd like to drink, pick up, order quickly for myself and for the two of them. And I walk over and quickly introduce myself, I say a quick hello to Kuro just to, introduce myself and sort of look at Iso and see if he recognizes me.
Iso recognizes this guy. I'm so sorry.
And I say, we were in a class together back at university a long time ago.
Actually, yes, that's right. And I'm like, you're the only other guy in that class that I felt like really got what we were talking about. So, great. What are you doing on this station? This is amazing. This is my cousin, Kira, by the way.
Oh, good to meet you, Kira. Really, I hope you're having a good time. It's in this lovely place.
Kira just stares daggers.
I'm just trying to look for an opportunity. I'll be honest. Things are rough back at work. I'm kind of falling behind. I really need something big. I got to go out and find something. I'm looking for a ship. I can help out. I'm pretty good at scoring, wheedling behind the scenes to scrounge things up for folks. I happen to know a lot of people throughout the systems because of my university connections. Would love to help out in some way, but I really need to get out there and discover something definitive about what the corporations are up to.
So,
Rex, I think I can help you out if you can help me out.
What do you need?
Well, I'm pretty sure I can talk my captain into bringing you on board the ship with your skills and, because I'm with the survey service now. I'm not sure if you've kind of heard about what's happened, but okay. But here's the good news. I'm pretty sure I can convince my captain that having someone with your intellect and your abilities with us on the ship will increase the chance that we'll find something important, nice. Find something interesting, find something that will make the captain look good, make the survey service look good, and it solves your problem of getting you on a ship and out of here. I just need one small favor in return.
I'm all ears.
So my cousin needs to get off station, and I was going to get her on board the ship. It would be easier for me to do that if I could present it that she's like your assistant that would be helping you with research, this, that, and the other. You know, you don't have to really actually have her do anything for you. I just need, you know, it'll smooth things over with my captain if I could just say the two of you are a package deal.
So while you guys are talking, the folks that Izo noticed kind of hanging around without seeming like they're really that relaxed have stood up and are moving toward your table. There's three of them. And they look, they're well built. They're wearing very nice suits. Their eyes are very cold, and they're staring straight at Kuro.
Can I ask Kuro my notices? Give me any.
And over in the corner of the bar, there's a old, crappy miner guy who's just drinking constantly, and maybe he notices some of this. So Bester, you're in the side of the bar, and you know maybe you notice something's going on. All right, what are you guys doing?
I mean,
well, Kuro is definitely looking around. She's ready to run, but she's also reaching for a sword. Well, got a hand on a sword. She doesn't want to pull it out and make a scene. She'd rather just run. So that's what she's doing, okay. But she's waiting to see what happens.
Okay. Izo and Brett, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I would... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brett.
I was going to say I was just going to go start talking to him.
Okay.
With the hopes that it might give those two a chance to slip out.
Okay. So you're gonna kind of stand up and intercept them as they walk toward the table.
Exactly.
Okay. They
I feel.
Go ahead. What's Izo doing?
Well, I felt like, I was. My perception is that I was engaged in this conversation and selling Breck on this idea.
Uh-huh.
So my cues were probably cues off of like I probably didn't see these guys getting up and starting to come over until. Kuro's, you know, Kuro would.
She's gonna
do you
tense
think
up.
The reaction is it fearful or is it just?
No, I was gonna say that she would use her eyes and body language to point out the issue,
okay.
And sort of interrupt you guys while you were talking and point it out. But she's worried about herself. She's working on how she can either run, basically run.
Okay, so I kind of take the situation in, and I see Breck going over to talk to him, and I just kind of tell Kiro, if this goes bad, just follow me. We'll try to get back to the ship, okay?
She nods and makes her back to the wall.
Okay, and what's best to do in there, Nick?
I was trying to get to that. Over in the corner is the occasional bouncer of this particular bar.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his off night.
Off night.
So he's doing what he usually does on his off night, which is drinking the bar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
drinking away
that
his
weight. You know, what else are you going to do? But it's his bar, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there's something not quite right going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been standing around as a bouncer for long enough to notice when people are looking in that particular way, when they say friend in the way that doesn't mean friend, but
mm-hmm.
I'll stab you now. he slightly unsteadily stands up and ambles over to get a better listen on what's going on.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. So, Breck, these guys are walking straight toward you, and they're not slowing down. What are you going to do?
I'll say, hey, fellas, what's going on?
Move, maggot.
Whoa, that's a little rough. Where are you guys from? Are you guys Grumman Stevens?
they're gonna grab your arm, grab both of your arms, pick you up, and put you to the side, and keep walking to the table.
Uh-oh. Hopefully this time you guys have had a chance to do something else, because I seem to be ineffective in this case.
I was gonna say, Kura is on her feet and already moving.
Okay, where is Kura going?
She's trying to carve a path to the exit,
really?
Basically.
Carve literally? Does she have her sword out?
Not yet. No, she doesn't want to make a scene. Anything to get the minimal amount of attention on herself. But she's trying to walk out. I assume Izo is following. But she is having them in her sights the whole time. She's
okay.
Not taking her eyes off them. She's
okay.
Sort of walking around them in an arc.
Okay, Izo, what are you doing?
So I see her get up. I see them basically completely kind of blow through Breck. And I'm watching the rest of the room and watching these guys, because I'm trying to figure out, is it just these three or there more? And I do see this guy kind of stagger to his feet off on the side. And just for like a second, I'm like, that can't be.
That guy.
And I have very mixed emotions. Because technically that guy cost me my career in the Navy and my relationship with my family and all that kind of stuff. But I also know what he went through. So it's mixed. And even though it didn't work for Breck, I'm going to start by stepping forward to these guys and say, hey, what's the problem here? Why do you want to ruin everybody's fun tonight? And I kind of gesture out to the crowd and I say it in a loud enough voice that I'm trying to get the attention of everybody else in the bar. Cause I like to think this is I'm going to call it a spacer bar.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys clearly aren't spacers.
No, they don't fit in. There's not a lot. It's kind of middle of the day. You know, there's only maybe five or six other people in the bar. I mean, the guy who was drinking over in the corner was like, you know, one-fifth of the whole clientele aside from you guys. So, yeah, some people look up, bleary-eyed people look up, but then they put their heads back down and go back to their naps.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the bartender doing right now? Is he kind of ignoring us, or is he going to...
The bartender has seen that Bester's up, and he's just kind of watching. Because he knows Bester, right? He knows he's probably capable of taking care of this, so he hasn't done anything. He seems a little more alert. Maybe he's poised over a panic button. It's hard to tell. But, you know, it seems like he's just sitting back and watching. Okay. So, let me see. So, Breck, you've kind of been put to the side.
I'm looking to maybe, acts of violence with my character are probably unwise.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be acts of violence.
It does not. So, I think I am going to.
I don't think. Did you pick equipment for your character? I didn't see it in your.
No, well, trying to think character it's based on. None of the packs really made sense for me that much, given Greg's academic guy. So I sort of went with the money pack. So I think I'm actually. I'm going to fake that I was just robbed by these shouting for the cops.
Okay, so what is that? Nice. What does that look like?
I'm like, hey man, those motherfuckers just took all my cash.
So the main goon that called you a maggot is going to like ignore you, but one of the side goons is going to turn, and he's basically going to like. Swing a punch at you right in the face.
All right, I will dodge as best I can.
All right, so let's get to rolling. So, I'm gonna guess that gives him initiative, and that's the GM fiat. So let's see. So he's gonna be attacking you. Let me look at something. And you have one hit point. Is that correct? I'm going to try and do something about this. I should have said this at the beginning too. I am going to be a fan of my characters. I always am, but I'm really going to, I know how hard it is for you guys to survive. So let me see.
So while you're figuring that out, Kuro right now would be, in two minds, she needs a distraction. She can basically just blank out and disappear, which she would like.
She's going to teleport?
She could, but the problem is that stupid fool with the big mouth is her ticket to a ship. So she's conflicted at the moment.
I like how this entanglement's already working. Awesome, guys.
So she's sitting there. Trying to figure out what to do when he takes a swing, she'll probably maybe even attempt to blink in behind him and get an attack in, depending on how
they're. I think that would be reaction. So he's going to get to take his swing first. So, what is your armor class, Trip? I'm guessing you would have some sort of like, you know, basic armor, like there's body armor or secure clothing that would give you, let's say you have secure clothing, what would give you an AC of 13? All right. So I'm going to roll. And so the guy is going to turn to you. And luckily, cause I think if he hit you, you would die.
Well, don't I go unconscious? Isn't there like an unconscious?
Yeah. You wouldn't actually die. And by the way, you guys all have Lazarus patches, without which a level one character is pretty much just meat in this game. He's gonna swing, but let's say Breck is, has had enough, trouble with his mouth that he knows some basic dodging skills. So this guy takes a swing at you and misses. Do you want to describe that at all, Breck?
Oh yeah. Totally. So, you know, he's a pretty big lumbering oafish guy. So he comes at me, with a right hook, which I anticipated because I have in fact gotten punched in the face more than once due to my mouth. And so I knew instinctively to dodge and duck into it. So I actually come into him and it actually passes over my head and I attempt to then, hit him in the kidneys.
Okay, so you're going to try and punch him?
Yep.
Okay. So why don't you give me – he's actually wearing body armor. Give me a D20, and you your skill with punch is minus one, and your strength is nothing. So you're a D20 minus one. Can you guys see the buttons on the bottom?
No.
So go – if you go to – where is it?
Is it what
the bullet macros, point list?
Yeah, the bullet point list in the on the right sidebar at the top. So it says collection. Click on that. You see macros?
Yep.
Can you see 2d6, d20, all those things?
No.
Oh, do I have to
But hold on.
Do I have to share them with you guys?
You may have to.
What do I have to
do? But I can do this. I could do like.
Yeah.
We could do this.
But there is a thing to click called Show Macro Quick Bar.
Yeah, that makes up a little gray empty bar below
that's
the
bar.
Little
I guess you guys have to. Why can't I add macros for you guys? Anyway.
Okay, I text them to do it. So I'll just do this.
Show's token. Oh, visible to players. Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah?
Let's try that.
That's
there we go.
2d6 and bar.
All right. So let me do this one and make that visible to player. Oh, you have to, like, scroll down.
Okay. I can do this. D20 minus 1.
Yep, you can do that, too.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, you have to do a forward slash R in that same text.
Slash R.
If you see the button now on the bottom...
Oh, sweet.
Oh, what happens, you're gonna miss. Tell me how your counterattack goes, Rick.
So I was swinging in for the kidneys, feeling like a total badass. and unfortunately I flipped forward, hit my head into his junk and stumbled on the ground.
All right, I'm going to say we're in combat. So everybody give me a D8. I don't have a D8 button. So initiative, for whatever reason, is a D8 with your dexterity, I think, is the modifier.
Black R.
Which most of you guys, I think, are zero.
Yeah,
except for Bester. And I'm assuming, Bester, are you jumping in? I'm assuming you're going to.
I heard words I don't like.
Okay.
The guy that I think who was it Breck that was?
Breck was talking to him and the guy called Breck.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know Breck.
And are you guys from Grum and Simons?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, those are the words.
And I kind of perked up, so that's gonna end up being where I'm going.
So Bester's all in. I like it. All right, so I'm looking. I'm getting a game system skill checks.
I have a plus one dex modifier.
All right, so roll a 1d8 plus one for you. Everybody else is a 1d8.
Yep.
Yeah.
See if I can.
I hit it a 3.
Shit out.
I should. Four. I'm just gonna write. I know Rex, you've done something, or no, Ty had done something with the initiative system, but so Izo's a 3. Anthony's a 5, or Kuro's a 5, and Trip, who is Rex, is a 4. Buster's a 3. Yeah, you guys suck.
Bad at this
one. Guy is
well, I'm guy. Drunk, so I have an excuse.
Yeah, Duck, on your left-hand side, there's should be one more. Like, the top thing is the selection tool, and then the paint tool, and then... there's one
turn
that basically
order?
Is the turn order.
Oh,
but
yeah, you have to add
you
tokens.
Have to
yeah, never
have
mind.
Have to add tokens. Right?
It's all right. It actually worked out pretty well because you guys get to go before all the goons.
Nice.
So even your worst rolls were better than my best rolls. So, and you guys win tie. So all right, so we're just going to go straight in. So that was kind of round one, and then so Breck and Goon 3 got a free round. So now we're full into it. And Kuro, you're up first. What are you going to do? You now would be the time if you wanted to do your teleport move. Of course, you would teleport, but then you couldn't attack this round. It would be next round, I think. I think teleport is a main action. Did we lose Anthony?
Oh, sorry. Kid came in. I was muted. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
It's a move action for her.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because of her level one.
Oh, nice. Well, then you can move. That's pretty damn awesome. Yeah, so go ahead and so I don't know how much you guys have looked at the combat system, but you basically get a main action and a move action. And then there's a bunch of kind of sub actions, like things that you don't think would take too long, you can do kind of for free. The main actions are things like make an attack. But you can also take as your main action a second move action, so you can move twice as far, but then you can't attack, obviously. Another option is there's a fighting withdrawal. So if you use your move action to move away from someone who's in melee combat with you, they get a free attack, unless you do a fighting withdrawal, but that's your main action for the turn. But if you do a fighting withdrawal, then the next turn you can move away with them not able to do an attack. Yeah, and you can also, you can choose to hold to, like, you know, do basically Overwatch kind of stuff if you want. See what other people do. So those are kind of your options. I don't want to get into too much detail because I don't want this to take forever. But, so, Kuro, what are you doing?
Yes. So Kuro is going to use the distraction and eyes off her to blink in. She's going to find herself in a position, where she's got easy access to run if she decides to still run, but she wants to get behind the guys. So she's been watching the situation.
Right.
I'm not sure how good that place is, but she's worried about running at all times.
Okay, so she's teleporting to behind where they are. So that
yeah,
out
she
of
intends
range.
To. As she's teleporting, she's pulling out her sword.
Okay.
She's going to blink in and attack.
Okay.
It's as simple as
so
that.
So there's kind of there's the guy who was in the lead who brushed aside Breck, and then there's a guy on his left and a guy on his right. So, you know, in the theater of the mind, and you guys were kind of over in a table. So if you come in behind them, you're kind of nearer the entrance than they are.
Yeah.
But which guy, so we'll call him, you know, from the main goon will be main goon, and then we'll call him left and right goons. So which one are you going to attack?
Whoever took a swing at my ticket onto a ship.
Okay. So that's left goon.
So left goon it is.
Okay. So, and you, so remind me, so for your teleport, that takes effort, right? You have to spend an effort.
No.
Oh, because you're level 1.
10 meters is move.
Because you're level 1.
She has the ability, a 10-meter teleport is just a move action. It's a free, no effort.
Nice.
Anything greater than that, then it's then it's effort and all the rest of it.
Okay. All right. Excellent. But, all right. So I'm going to give you – so you're – and you have your sword out and you're going to swing?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a plus one for surprise and kind of backstabby type stuff. You get a special ability for that, though, don't you?
Assess. I can't miss from close range because she's assassin class.
Okay.
So she can't miss.
All right. Well, then I guess you get a hit. Why don't you roll up your damage?
Which is what? I'm trying.
Let me look at your sheet here. So you have this. Oh, you didn't put the. Oh no, that's.
It's all there. The medium advanced weapon.
Yep.
It's 1d8 plus one.
Yeah, take another plus one for the surprise.
D8 plus two. I think this is gonna work. Did that not go to the chat?
I think it did. Yep.
It did.
You rolled a five, three, a five. And a plus two is a five. All right. Let me look at normal human.
That's got to hurt. I got 3 HP.
Yeah.
I'm that's lucky with the roll.
I think that's going to be a smart time for that fellow.
Yep. And you rolled. Okay. So, basically, he's going to go down. He might not be dead, but he's not in this fight anymore. Why don't you tell me what that looks like, Kuro?
So it's it doesn't look like anything from an observer. She's using the distraction. She doesn't want to scream that she's a psychic to people in the room, so mm-hmm. she basically blinks in and swings. It's just a, you know, like in the anime, that whole swoosh animation is all people see is just a flurry of sword, and a guy groans on his way down, and the floor okay. gets a little slippery around him. It's just a straight swing from nowhere to anyone that's looking.
Okay.
And she's just stand when he goes down, you know, because they're coming in from the door. She's just standing, so he's the big oaf, like a big curtain falls down, and like a magician, she's standing there with a sword out, looking to mean business.
All right. Very nice. All right. Next up, well, so let's see. We've got Izo and Bester. Bester, you have the highest right. deck, so why don't you go?
Yeah. I mean, this is a bar. It's not a hammer kind of place.
Yeah, I wouldn't think you'd have your hammer on you.
No, exactly. But Knuckles, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
got to be ready for life. there's going to be a punch being thrown. Is that the...
That would be a.
So that's the.
Yeah, that, you, yeah, you have skills punch, in yeah. punch, right?
I do.
Yeah, so I think you get. You have a level one in punch?
Level one, yeah.
And you have a plus one strength, right?
Yep.
So you're going to be plus two. So roll a d20 plus two.
Okay. Nine.
Yeah, so your punch is, you know, this guy is wearing some pretty hefty body armor. And, you know, maybe your punch connects, but he doesn't even, like, phase him. He just basically, like, turns.
But did that include the, because.
Oh, do you have another bonus?
The sharp knuckles.
Oh, yeah. What does that get you?
So that gives me – the total attack bonus is actually 3. So that would yeah. give me 10. And then it's a – what the fuck? AC. That's armor yeah, he, or
he's
something.
He's a 15. His AC is 15. Yeah. So you're yeah. It's going to bounce off his armor. It wasn't the most solidly swung sharp knuckle attack.
So –
All right.
The mod would be 1d6 and then something. So. Okay.
All right. Next up would be Izo.
So, question about the universe that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
I have a las pistol or a laser pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like you know, Star Wars Cantina where you just mm-hmm. that's slung openly? You know,
oh, yeah.
for everyone
yeah.
to see it?
Kel, I mean...
Or is it more of a, like it would be hidden on my body type thing?
That might be partially up to Izo. There are certainly people walking around. In this bar, you know, there's no weapons check at the door. There may be some of the higher end parts of the spaceport where you have to check weapons. This is right. kind of the, this is the Mos Eisley Cantina version part of the, part
okay.
of the spaceport.
Okay, well then Izo carries his low slung.
But, you know, but pulling out a weapon and firing it is another level of escalation, even in Mos Eisley, just saying.
No, I get that.
I mean,
so I think.
Who shoots first?
Solid.
So I think what I'm going to do is, Kuro is basically taking out one of the guys, and I'm kind of surprised because sworn she was behind me, but I guess
yeah, that was excellent.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with that. And then Bester is engaged with one guy trying to hammer him down without a hammer. So is it safe to say the third guy still kind of would have been making his way to me until he lost sight of Kuro?
Yeah. he's kind of confused too, because he was kind of like, you know, they were all kind of focused on Kuro, and nobody right. really knows what happened to her. They don't know where she is now. Right. Right. And yeah, he's, it looks like he's kind of locking on you because, you know, you were right next to her, and he's like, maybe this guy knows something, but you can't really tell, but he just looks a little confused, but yeah, you might right. be the next target.
So I kind of step back from him. I put one hand up. Hey, friend, this is getting going way too far, way too fast. And I put my hand down on my laser pistol, because what I'm trying to do is convince him that he doesn't want to go this way.
So, I can't okay, really so this fight. Is like an intimidation type.
Yeah, so I guess it has to be intimidation.
Let's look.
I don't know if my charisma bonus is going to help me or not. But.
You get a +1 on charisma. Let's look at the skill okay. list. I think intimidate one of them. No.
While this is going on, Kira just shoots him a look like, you still want to talk? He's very concerned that she's not. He possibly can't protect her.
Let me see what skills you have. There's nothing really direct. I have some things that might be.
I don't really see an intimidate skill in here.
No, I'm thinking like talk would be the closest, since you're kind of talking to him, or maybe.
Maybe.
What's it's a type of talk. Yeah, I mean,
it's a type of talk, but you don't have. You would be -1 on talk, but you get +1 for charisma, so you're net 0. And I'm gonna call this. I'm going to call this a pretty difficult task, but just go ahead and give me a 2d6 for a skill check.
All right. See what happens. Straight up. No modifier. Boom. 8.
Yeah. I mean, he looks, his eyes kind of narrow, and he's like, you know, maybe you kind of see his face tightening a little bit. But when you put your hand on your laser pistol, basically he reaches inside his coat and draws one out at the same time. So I'm going to take you doing, your action is kind of like hold an action. Let's do, so you're kind of, I would say you're kind of in a quick draw. I'm just going to arbitrarily rule this. He drew first, but it's going to be basically a like a dex check, right? So do you have a dex bonus?
Okay. I do not have a dex bonus.
All right. So let's each – I'm going to roll something here.
My dex is 13.
Okay.
One short of a bonus.
Give me a 2d6.
Okay.
I'm assuming – once he reaches in, or he's reaching into his coat, are you gonna draw and shoot?
I feel like I have to at this point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that, and my hesitation was, you say it's a big deal, and I get it's a big deal, but this situation is clearly not what I anticipated what it was. So I hit another 8.
Yep, I saw it. So you managed to get your gun out first and get a shot off before he does. So go ahead and okay. and take your shot. So you have a
shoot
skill.
At 0.
Right, and no dex bonus. So that means you're straight up shooting a 1d20.
1d20, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens.
Ooh,
11.
Yeah, the shot Ooh. Just goes a little bit wide.
Dang it.
You know, maybe makes Ouch. A sizzling mark behind the bar. Now the bartender is actually looking a little pissed. You think he might be pressing a button, but you're not quite sure. But he's doing something back there. All right. So now we've got the lead goon and actually, he doesn't go first. The guy that you just shot at is going next.
He's going to shoot me. I know.
Of course.
My next character is...
He's going to...
Wait, don't I get a roll? Because he's doing the gun thing. Oh, yeah.
We'll do the gun thing. Then you're next.
Okay.
Then you're next. yeah, his, it's like, you know, it's like one of those pistols at 20 paces and both people miss each other and you both look kind of sheepish. You're like, and then there's another burn mark on the back wall and you guys are just, maybe you smile at each other a little bit. Who knows? All right. So,
that's your last warning shot. I'm just telling you, it's your last warning shot.
Intimidation doesn't work if you can't shoot straight. All right, Breck, what are you doing?
All right, I'm going to grab a bottle of whiskey, or space whiskey.
Space whiskey, very nice.
Yeah. And I'm a little bummed out because I can tell it's a 7-year, and that's too bad. But I'm going to swing it at Standing Up Goon 2, who I can tell is a total dick.
It's 20 parsecs. It's 20 parsecs old. All right.
Damn it.
All right, you're swinging at which one, main goon or right goon?
Actually, no, let's swing at right goon, even though I hate main goon, because main goon.
You're gonna move, like, but you can move, like, you know, you're kind of on the other side, right? Because he kind of put you to that side. But you, right. I mean, everybody's within 10 meters, so you could certainly move around to right goon and take a swing at him, and maybe it'd be more surprising. Interestingly enough, when you're kind of running around to attack right goon, you see Kuro there. Like, how did you get there? What?
Despite my confusion, I hope I have a stunningly awesome arc of whiskey. Let's see.
All right. Just roll. Yeah. Not that good. Right goon sees you coming and, like, totally, like, just steps out of the way.
As my arm swings to the air, I think I'm probably going to get kicked in the ass, but this whiskey at least will.
Even though he was involved in a gun battle with Izo, he, like, saw you coming and just kind of shifted to the side. It was right goon you were shooting with, right, Izo?
Yeah.
Too bad. Like, I even, in my head, gave you a bonus because he was involved in another combat and wasn't paying attention, and you still didn't hit him.
I made that.
You guys roll for ass. All right. Although it could be worse, I suppose. All right, now, like, Mangoon sees all this going on, and he's, like, his eyes are just flashing, right? He's pulling out a laser pistol. He's kind of a little confused. You can tell, like, they were focused on Kuro, and they don't know where he is. So he's kind of scanning around. He hasn't thought to look behind him yet. But he does see, so let's see who's in front of him. He's got Izo in front of him. Maybe Bester's in his field of view. So let me think. Let me do this. Let's see. He's actually going to shoot at, like, he looks and sees, and he's kind of doing a little threat assessment. And Bester seems like more of the threat. So he's going to turn and shoot at him. So we'll see how that goes. Oh, you know, it's just too much of a confusing situation. So he pulls out the pistol. Bester has been, like, running in and swinging his sharp knuckles at people, and it's just like a wild miss. This is like the comedy club of combats. You know, nobody's actually. It's like Imperial Stormtroopers in a brawl. All right. So we'll go back around to the next round and tell me what you're doing, Kuro.
What everyone else is not doing, she's going to attack number left while no one knows what's going on.
Okay, the same trick.
He's still good.
Your character may be a little OP, but I'm okay with that.
Someone's got to be good at fighting.
I'm only here to fly the ship.
This is a good story. I like it. I'm already envisioning she's, what's her face from Firefly?
Exactly. Yeah.
So to me, left goon was just sort of standing, shooting. He wouldn't be too far. She could sort of just take a few strides towards him.
Yeah, she doesn't even need to teleport. Yeah, she could go up and use her automatic hit. So give me a damage roll with another plus. So you get plus two again on the damage roll with your plus one, and then another plus one for him not even seeing you coming. That's fine. So he drops. Right. Yeah. And this time you can kind of see Kuro you kind of saw her, everyone saw her take a step, but Kuro, you want to describe anything else that happens? Like what move do you use to take this guy down? Did you mute yourself, Anthony? I think I thought I heard it.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
I was saying goodbye to kids. Sorry.
No worries.
So previously it was basically a high right to the low left strike to take the first guy down.
Uh-huh.
And this is just a sword coming back up the same way.
Nice.
It's almost fluent. It's almost like bullet time to her down and straight back up into the next guy and drops him. Bullets are flying around her head, but
well,
she
laser
just,
beams, yeah, sure. Very,
yeah.
Yep.
That very projectiles.
Nice. All right.
She's just focused in the zone.
All right. And then, Bester. Bester's up next.
Yeah. So how am I positioned, now?
Who did you attack last time? You attacked?
The guy that was holding Breck, right?
Okay, left. And he's down. He's down.
He's
the
down.
Only guy down. The only guy still up is Main Goon. And, you know, everybody's within 10 meters, which is how much move you get, right? So you're certainly capable of moving up to him and attacking with no penalties.
Then I will most certainly do so.
All right. So give me another d20.
And then my attack bonus then was...
I think you get three, right? Plus three.
Yeah.
D20 plus three.
So, roll d20 plus three. What
oh,
the...
So tell me what that looks like.
That looks like this. Think of the guy who's been sitting in the bar since 12 a.m. It's now 4 in the afternoon. He's halfway through his second bottle. So, you know, he has a little bit of a trouble judging distance. So he's going to swing and miss by a foot and a half. And lose his balance slightly and look a bit confused because he really thought he was going to hit.
Nice. All right. All righty. Let me go back to here and, Breck, what are you doing now? Your whiskey bottle, let's say you swung and missed and it broke. So now you've got a better weapon, but you missed by a lot last time.
Sure did. So I have a slight advantage with the talk skill.
Okay.
I'm going to brandish my delightfully shattered bottle, which is dripping with whiskey, and then and they're sort of metaphorically demonstrating what would happen if he fails to cooperate.
Okay, so I'm gonna do this. So you have a plus one bonus on talk.
Yep.
And do you have a charisma bonus?
I got no bonuses because I'm a shitty character.
Okay. So give me a 2d6 plus one. We're gonna use a talk test to try and intimidate this guy.
Can I use my intelligence to say that I'm kind of saying it's like I figured out how to get his head? Can I go?
Do you have an intelligence bonus?
I do.
All right. Yeah, give me a 2d6 plus 2. We'll see what happens.
What is success, by the way?
I'm not telling you, right?
Got
so
it.
For skill checks, generally there's a 6.
Okay.
Getting over a 6 is an easy task. Like super easy tasks I don't make you roll for.
Got it.
It's where is it? It's on some page here.
I'll dig into it later.
Yeah. But I'm kind of winging it a little bit.
Totally.
I'll tell you that the success check for this one I set as a 9, which is a pretty difficult test, but you made that.
Sweet.
So you basically like the guy's like, and it's kind of, I'm kind of doing it as you're intimidating him, but it kind of might be that now it's 1-on-4 and, you know, the two, his buddies have both been cut down. And he really doesn't know how that happened. He kind of saw a flash on the last one, like this small woman, like flashing across his vision. And so his eyes kind of go wide. And he's basically going to bolt. So here's how that's going to work. So he's going to make, he's going to try and disengage. And I'm going to let him go before you guys even get to attack him. But you all get a free attack, essentially, if you want it. Or you can let him.
Kira wants to engage. Kira doesn't want him running.
Okay, she's not going to get the automatic kill because he sees her now.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying.
Of course she does. I think that's totally in character. So why don't we'll go through initiative order.
She can't miss from point blank.
Yeah, but I'm gonna negate that because he's not at point blank. She'd have to move.
That's fine.
So you have to engage. Yeah. So go ahead. Give me a d20. Let's see. Do you get bonuses to attack?
Well, if it's a sword, she's gonna have to be adjacent.
Yeah, I'm gonna say like you don't get the automatic hit on this.
Okay.
So I'll give you a plus one bonus. But he definitely can see her now.
D20.
Oh Jesus! Sorry. All right, you hit him. Give me a damage roll.
I didn't even mean to press button, so it's a D.
I was kind of looking forward to him getting away, but oh well. I think it's 1d8 plus 1.
Oh well.
So it'd be an 8.
So, yeah.
So, you basically decapitate this guy.
Oh, damn.
Right?
So Kura is going to stand above her body and look back at the others and with a look that says, what the hell were you all playing with? She's disgusted, concerned, and really questioning this whole relationship before it even began.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read about
it. Which is okay, because Izo is also questioning this relationship. Did she just cut that guy's head off?
and actually at this time the bartender yells at Bester is like, hey Bester, I called the theocracy. You know what's gonna happen if they get here. You better get out. You better just get out and don't come back. You hear the pounding of boots in the corridor outside.
Oh damn. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Okay.
Kara's already running. She took a moment to look and she's
pretty follow
up.
Me. I'm gonna get you on my ship and we'll sort this out after we're on the ship.
Perfect.
It's a bar. All bars are back doors. That's where you load the liquor in.
Yep.
That's where we get out.
Bester would know about it. All right. So you guys, you're gonna lead him out the back door.
Exactly. Through the kitchen, past the line cooks. Mm-hmm. Who aren't working at the moment.
Bester, what's going on?
Yeah. And out a metal door, which leads to the staircase and up and out into like a back alley whatever the back alley equivalent would be on a space station.
Sure.
Where you sort of load stuff into a bar.
All right, you know, like those corridors in the shopping malls that are behind all the shops. That's what I kind of envision. And then, you know, you're going to come out on a main thoroughfare where there's a lot more people. And Izo, are you going to lead him to your ship?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I mean, my theory at this point is I just want to get everybody on the ship so they're not basically almost like hiding, and then I'll just kind of sort out, like, cause she cut that guy's head off. I mean.
It's a little rough, man. A little rough.
Bester's like, so what?
Well, I understand why you're okay with that, Bester, but, Turo, like, dude, decaf, like,
Kura says, you still talk too much.
All right. So I'm going to say, you manage basically to get through the station. You know, there's probably a big ruckus over by the bar, but Buster knows enough about the back passageways to get you to a place where it's crowded and far enough away from the commotion that, you know, there's nothing going down. You kind of think you hear some alarms and some notices about lockdown and stuff, but you manage to make it to your ship before anything gets locked down. So I think, Rex, we're going to need a name for the captain. And I have a candidate for you. Let me see. Unless you want to come up with a name.
I want to hear yours first.
One of the great Stars Without Number tools is it will do an NPC generator. And there's a whole bunch of names in here, but I've got Timotheus Carvalho.
You can remember that.
What did you say, Rick?
That was Anthony. No. I'm thinking Captain Shelton.
Shelton, okay. Does he have describe what is Captain Shelton like?
He's kind of odd. Like you could definitely tell why he ended up in the scout service instead of the Navy, and he's probably ex-Navy as well. And he's perfectly happy with his lot in life. He's not trying to buck for higher promotions, and really just if you leave him alone and don't bother him with lots of problems, he leaves you alone. Mm-hmm. So it's a very hands-off kind of deal. He wears very interesting shorts. That's probably the most intriguing thing about Captain Shelton.
This ship is very weird. I like it.
I love your work, Rex. I'm a big fan.
Okay. Is there so we have the Corvette Valkyries probably has a crew of maybe 20 people or so. I'm thinking that, you know, the Scout Service maybe has a tradition, you know, because it's kind of like the lesser service. Maybe they have some recruitment problems. So, you know, they're always they've kind of got like informal signups, right? Which is kind of why you were looking for additional people and why, you know, your captain might.
Right.
Let these folks on, especially Breck, right? You know, he's got all this university experience. He might be a good, you know, Watson-like character. Maybe you guys are down.
We
did
not have a science officer. That billet was not filled.
Right, there you go. Perfect.
Not that he's going to join the service, but he could basically cover the fact that we don't have a science officer.
Yeah, and the Scout Service does temporary contracts all the time, right? It's you know, it's not like joining the Navy. You know, you sign up for a, you know, a 3-mission, you know, haul, and then, you know, then you guys take it from there. So you kind of have that feeling. Is there anyone else on the crew? Like, I'm thinking maybe there's some openings on the crew. You know, maybe you've probably got a captain, a first mate, in engineering. You're the pilot, of course. Mm-hmm. Or tell me what your responsibilities on the ship are. Are you just the pilot, or are you anything else?
I thought 20 was kind of high, but I'm okay with that because I don't know enough about the ship combat and how that works to really get a sense. So
I just picked 20 because when I designed a ship this afternoon, it said Corvettes need a crew of 20, but we can make it like 10.
Okay. well, we could go with if it were properly crewed,
it
would have 20.
Right.
But maybe there's only like 14 on board.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, you know, the captain's kind of desperate for people, not just like a science officer is probably the biggest gaping hole. Like there's no science here. We have a survey ship, right? And there's no science staff at all, right? That's probably why Breck was like, when you saw him, you know, you had your mind kind of worried about Kuro and stuff, but there was this sub process running in your mind like, oh, hey, I need to get that guy. Okay. And, all right. So you guys have made it, you know, you're kind of in the boarding airlock for the Valkyries. So tell me, who's going to greet you when you come onto the ship?
I would think it's probably my
Santa Claus.
No, not no. The person I have in mind is the long-serving, like, senior petty officer. And she's, like, just, she is a lifer in the scout service, and she resents the fact that they're not well funded and they're not well regarded. And, you know, she wants us to run like a Navy ship, and she really resents me because I'm ex-Navy and I've kind of waltzed in here and got the captain's ear, and I'm this hot shit pilot. And number one, she doesn't have hot shit pilots under any set of circumstances, but, she definitely gets the sense that my commitment to the scout service is not the same as hers. That she definitely picks up on the idea that, look, I'm here because I need a place to land, not because I'm like some, ooh, the scout service is the greatest thing ever. If I could get back in the Navy, I'd be back in the Navy in a heartbeat. And maybe one day I'm going to be back in the Navy. So she's got that whole thing. So she's very rules and regulations driven. So she really doesn't care for my personality driven, you know, just talk to the captain and this is what we decided to do. You know, that just bugs her. So she's definitely like there trying to enforce the protocols about who comes on the ship and this, that, and the other.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Livonia is her first name.
How do you want to spell it?
Livonia. And her last name is Prentiss. Prentiss.
Okay. Okay, so you guys come kind of barreling down the passageway, what's her rank?
I perceive that she is the highest.
Somebody tell me what non-commissioned officer ranks. Is it like chief petty officer or something like that? Let's go with that.
Yeah, I think chief petty officer.
Chief petty officer Prentiss. Maybe she's even a higher non-commissioned rank than you'd usually expect on such a small ship. Kind of sounds like. CPO Prentiss.
There may be a reason that she's on a Corvette.
Yeah, maybe. CPO Prentiss is standing watch on the airlock and says, Izo, what the hell? What's going on?
Chief, warm bodies, fill in billets. That's what we needed to do. I'm sure you're going to get them all squared away. I'm going to go talk to the captain.
No. Have background checks. Have you followed the procedure? Where's your form 43J for all these people?
Izo. I was working on it, and I realized that I had a problem interfacing from where I was. I'm just going back.
Izo, I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I want 43Js for every one of these people.
Let me send all these people back, and then we run double shifts over and over again.
Behind Prentiss, wearing a pair of orange floral shorts. a man with the captain's bars on his shirt walks up. It's like, what's going on, Livonia? You can see her, her face just falls. And she's like, Captain. And she kind of turns. She's like, Sir, Izo is trying to bring people on board without the 43Js that are required. And Sheldon just like, he's like, Livonia, it's okay. We need people. Izo, what's going on?
Cap, I got a first rate fill-in for our science officer billet. He's got an assistant. So we actually have a science staff like we're supposed to have according to the regulations. And I cut a look at Prentiss. And we're kind of short on away team people. And this guy Bester here, trust me, if we ever have to go on surface
Prentice,
or board a ship, you're going to want this guy.
Prentice has a communicator on her belt, and it starts going, and she turns to the side and looks at it. She's like, there seems to be some sort of alert on the station. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Izo?
It was really, really strange. We were just leaving, and some other people went into the place where we were leaving from, and a huge fight started. And my first instinct was to go back and get involved, but, you know, given my history, sticking your nose in where it's not supposed to be, bad idea. And I realized my job was to help fill out the crew for the ship.
All right, Sheldon's, so Captain right Sheldon's here. Like, all right, I don't want to hear anymore. Livonia, what's our scheduled departure? And she's just shaking her head. She's like, we were supposed to leave in 2 hours, sir. And he's like, can we move that up? She's like, Izo, your shore leave was the last thing we were waiting for. Are you done?
Done. I got us more crew. I am ready to fly this baby. Let's go.
She's like, I want 43 J's before morning watch tomorrow.
They'll be done. They'll be the best 43 J's you have ever seen. Give her a wink.
She's like, God damn it. All right. She's like, yeah, Captain, we can be ready to go in 15 minutes. Sheldon's like, sounds good. Let's blow this popsicle stand. We got shit to go look at. And he turns around.
Captain, I have to say, those are some impressive shorts that you have
he's
on.
Like, and he kind of like runs his hand down his butt, says, aren't they? They feel so good. They're like satin or something. And scene.
All right.
excellent work by everyone.
Brilliant.
How are you guys doing? I know, Nick, it's very late there.
The sun is up. It's
morning
overcast.
Time. You've had
it's
your 4 hour nighttime already. Is it 4 hours or is it shorter than that?
Well, now it's late July, so it's about, 5.
Oh, wow.
You know, so one of those long nights.
I have this picture of Nick laying with his wireless headset on in his coffin full of soil from his beta player. He's like, God, the sun's up. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, so you guys pretty tell much. Me. I got more ideas. We could probably keep going for an hour or so, or this is a pretty good stopping point. So tell me what you want
to
do.
I'm happy to go on. I've just managed to get the family out of the house.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Okay. Nick, how about you?
I mean, I'm on vacation until the 20th of August, and during that time, I have no problem doing.
All right. Trip or
after that, weekends are okay.
Okay. Trip or Rex, any issues with still going?
I just heard Nick say we could play for about 47 hours.
A billion million.
I can't GM for that long, I gotta tell you.
Exactly.
But
I'm probably good for 40 minutes or so. Maybe an hour.
I think so let's keep going. All right, I tell you, let's take a short break. I did get that return anger from work. you guys can get drinks, and I will need to use the restroom, even though I have my drinks with me. So just give me like 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll pick up again.
Sounds awesome.
All right.
Back in a couple.
And I'm Trip. I'm assuming you're fine because it's only 8 o'clock. All right.
I'm going to use the restroom and come back.
All right.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
No.
Hey. No. Good. Are you guys enjoying this? This was for you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
You guys are doing great. I think it's going pretty well. I'm really happy with how it's coming together.
That's good. It's so funny. I literally just got rid of the family. Like, they were meant to go, but it's the little one's nap time. So they were stuck here and they've just gone.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll get another 45 minutes in and then.
It's all good.
Yep.
But I was nervous this morning because the youngest woke up with a runny nose.
Mm.
We've just had 2 weeks of the flu, but she had an immunization, so we just assumed it was that. But right. The grossest incident this morning, like, kid sneezes, and that's funny because mum's holding her. And then the wife's like, look, look, look. And it's like an inch of snot just hanging out of her nose. And I just flinch and retch. And then wife sort of takes a couple of steps to go get a wipe. And she's like, oh, no, she just ate it. And I'm just
God.
Out of the room. I'm just done. I'm done.
That's horrible. That is horrible.
It wasn't good. But it sounds like you're having your own fun and terrible.
Yeah.
So who are we waiting on?
I think let's see. I don't hear Rex or Trip.
Yeah.
So we'll wait for those guys to come back. Yeah. Nick, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm having fun.
It's good.
It's interesting playing sort of a quiet guy that will occasionally get not so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can sort of avoid going into my usual self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just loving that you're still an angry man. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that pushes your character over the edge.
Yeah.
Izo is back.
Excellent. So we're just waiting on Breck.
Here I am.
All right. Very good. All right. So let's try and get a little excitement in. I have some ideas. We'll see how they work out. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? All right, so you guys, you get in onto the ship. Let's change the scenery. We could do a couple things. I kind of like this one, although we're really not going to use it too much.
While you're pulling that up, I just looked at the assassin rules again,
mm-hmm.
and it's from Snake she gets auto hit.
Yeah, so there's got to be a limitation on that, right? It can't be just when you're adjacent you get an auto hit. Cause...
That's a little too easy, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I read. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no worries. I think it made for a good story. Right. I mean, you guys were going to beat those guys no matter what, so and Kuro kind of beating them single-handedly makes it very, what was the character's name on Firefly? What was her name?
What's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Damn it.
I've got to watch that show again.
The hot one?
Yeah, I think she's
Christina Hendricks.
River. It's River.
River Tam, yeah. So you're definitely not exactly like River Tam because you're definitely not in, you know, well, maybe you are insane. I don't know. But, you've got a little, like crazy hot woman vibe going. So I like it. And like I said, we'll work around stuff. It just felt the automatic hit felt like, that seems like that's a little too OP, but. Yeah, like an automatic hit when you're surprising someone or like you're sneaking, that makes sense. But when the guy can see you coming, I don't think it's going to work. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. All right. So you guys are on the Valkyries. I just copied this off the internet. This may or may not be what your ship looks like. But generally,
the dog for the scale comparison.
Looking at it. It's like the guy in the middle is like, look away. I've got something to do with this dog.
It is a pretty cool picture, though. But the Valkyries is a Corvette class ship that's been converted to the Scout service. You know, not everything works, but you know, general stats. You know, Izo would know these and would be able to bring you up to speed. You know, it's got weapons. It's got armor. It also, you know, when they put it into the scout service, they added an advanced lab. It's also configured to be able to land in, it's got the atmospheric landing configuration. It's got a drive to, it's got some armor, it's got fuel scoops because it's often out on the interstellar reaches. It had lifeboats from its time in the, Duxon, Navy. And it's got, two weapon systems. Both on turrets, but they can be slaved to face forward so the pilot can also fire them. There's a sand thrower and a plasma beam. Okay. So, Izo kind of gets you on board. I'm assuming, you know, you would take Breck down to the labs and kind of get him settled.
And explain to him that he's responsible for doing his Form 43 and Kuro's Form 43 because he's got to get
Form 43J. Form 43 is a completely different form. That's your tax return, dude. Come on, dummy.
dang it.
Izo, you never know what the forms are called.
I'm very good at these forms because of my administer skills.
That's right. So Breck volunteers to fill them out for everyone. He's got these little glasses that come around and like magnetically seal over his eyes. And he's like, oh, I can crank these out. No problem.
Because I was going to say, Bester, we don't have a HR person. I could slide you in that slot. You know.
And I just look at you and go, funny.
You also, you're also surprisingly, like, the ship has berths, but never has had a, marine contingent, which sometimes can be useful on survey ships, scout ships. That might be an idea, I'm just saying.
I definitely perceived that Vester would be on whatever, like, participate in the role of, like, boarding other ships or, you know, part of a landing party or this, that, the other, so.
Okay.
That's probably true, as long as there's no vacuum. Bester abhors vacuum.
Bester is like nature.
put on?
He like, fills it up even... and explodes. Or something.
What a great fear for a space-going character.
Exactly.
You know, maybe being part of the marine contingent isn't the best idea for him. All right, so here's what I'm thinking. So you've kind of got there are some openings on the crew. You know, maybe there's only 10, 12 people on the crew, including the captain and Livonia. So you know, the science lab and Breck makes total sense. So are we thinking Kuro is going to, you kind of sold her as the assistant for the science lab, but maybe there's another part of the ship, that you could find her situation on. And here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that, there would be some real OJT that would happen. That's on the job training for those of you who are,
I made it. Thank you.
Acronym impaired. So what I would say is there's kind of like maybe, you know, you kind of sit down. Izo might kind of confab with the captain and talk about where the gaps are and, you know, talk to the characters. So you guys can kind of work out. So what you're going to get out of this, I'm thinking, by GM Fiat, is I'm going to give you some skills that would relate to the OGT, OJT you get.
Oh, nice. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. So, and you know, maybe they, you know, this ship is always, you know, the survey service or the, what do we call it? The survey or the scout service. It's always kind of been a little bit fast and loose despite what Livonia would like, or Chief Prentice, however you want to call her. So, you know, there's always been like, oh, you know, we're the science officer is going to double as the medical officer's, you know, assistant or something. So, here are the skills that I'm offering you guys. So there's opening in the engineering group, so you could pick up fix, heal, and let's say program. Basically, you could become one of the bridge crew. So see, for each one of you, so Iso, you're already kind of got those skills, so I'm going to say you're
yep.
exempt. Although, to make it fair, I'll let you pick up one if you want. You already have program. Maybe this cross-training, maybe the captain decides to implement a cross-training program. So who would like to do what? And you can basically, if you have, you know, no level in the skill, you can get to zero, or I'll even let you go from zero to one if you want. So I'm yes. saying, I'm looking at the list here. We've got fix, heal, and program, and shoot.
If I'm going to be a science officer, would it make sense to get programmed to work on instruments yeah. on the bridge?
Yeah. That sounds like great. All right, so go ahead and take – you don't have program, so you're going to get program zero?
Yep. yep.
Okay. So Breck takes program zero. How about Bester? What do you think you might want to do?
No, I mean, it's going to be boarding party.
Here's a thought for you. You know, you're kind of a warrior class. I think you might have a natural, but you're kind of a melee guy. But, you know, maybe the gunnery sergeant kind of likes the look of your eyes, and maybe he takes you under his wing and teaches you how to shoot.
Well, sounds like a good idea.
All right. So why don't you take shoot zero?
I could. Yeah. We'll do.
Okay. So Kuro, what do you think you might want to do?
What were the remaining options?
So fix, heal. I can't really see that fitting. You could also pick shoot or program, which I don't know.
No, she doesn't want to shoot. If she ever got the range where she'd want to shoot, she'd be running instead.
I would also be willing to give you pilot zero. Maybe you want to follow your cousin around.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah. I was going to say she would want any skill that she could use if she got stuck on her own to run.
Yeah,
so
pilot. That sounds pilot, like
pilot would be number one, or fix would be behind that, but pilot would be her ultimate.
All right, so take pilot zero. And then Iso, you know, maybe during this captain's rotation program, you have the chance to pick up another skill. I'll even let you take stab. And by the way, Bester, take stab as well, because I think technically when you attack with your hammer, even though it doesn't make sense, it's a stab.
Where the hell is stab? It starts with an S, so yes. Zero on stab.
All right.
And I think Iso would actually end up taking stab, because he would agree to kind of take Kuro under his wing, the pilot. Enough.
Maybe they spar a little bit or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kuro, does that seem like, would she be willing to do that? I don't know.
Well, she was a little disappointed with the previous efforts.
Oh, so maybe she wants to invest, you know, like these guys got to be better next time.
Oh, yeah, but only Iso.
Okay.
She has to put a trust in somebody.
It's only Iso that wants to train her right now. So
she would train him to a point. It'd be very restricted. But how to help her would be what she'd offered, at least initially. I mean, they may form a close bond.
Let me look at something here. GM crap. I want to give you some XP because we had an encounter. And I'm trying to find the people problems. I'm going to have to actually look in the – I should just do my searchable PDF instead of this. But I like the book, page 230. It's very kind of open, and I have a thought, but I did want to check and see what the guidelines were for awarding.
It does have 3 XP gets you level 2, which is a little crazy.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, I'm going to give you each 1 XP for the for that space station. So let's do that, and then we can always retcon it if it, I mean, because that's the minimum, obviously, and you guys did great. So everybody take 1 XP.
Okay.
Thank you.
Death.
Where I track that on my sheet.
It's on the Roll20 sheet there.
Oh, perfect. Yep. I was looking at my little
There's guidelines, like, you know, if you guys had wanted, like, they have guidelines about trading and, you know, profit and stuff. And I'll read that later. I can't find it. I'm almost thinking I give
I
you
have
two.
Trade as a skill.
Yeah. I'm almost thinking, you know what? I'm going to give you two XP because there was the whole battle and then there was the escape and then there was the getting the people on the ship. I think that's worth two XP. Everybody take two XP.
Glorious.
Yay!
I got to get you guys to level two because Breck needs to re-roll his HP.
So he'll have two HP.
Probably. No, actually, the interesting thing about the way the system works is every time you go up a level, you re-roll all the dice, right? So what? I think it's 1d6. So if he goes to level two, he rolls 2d6, and if... But if you never go down, you always go up by one. So, you know, of course. Okay. But you roll 2d6, and you know, so he could have HP of 12 next time.
I really grew a lot.
Really. Yeah. Really filled out.
Those awkward years.
You know, you know what? I'm going to give you 3 XP. Let's go to level 2. I think we need to do it.
This is the most unduck thing I've ever seen.
I'm like, how?
Sakura
where,
just thinks to
what?
Herself okay. It's an XP ahead, so yeah. She likes that currency.
Okay. You guys did really well. Because I really want you guys to be level 2 so that you have a chance of surviving a little longer. All right, so real quickly.
Let me ask you this, just from a bookkeeping point of view. Mm-hmm. So do we zero out our XP, or do we
keep
ourselves 3?
Yeah, okay. Just give yourself 3. We'll figure it out. I don't want to get too bogged down in this because I want to actually do a little bit more before we have to wrap up. And so all I want you guys to do for level 2, you guys can think about what skills you want to take. Let's not do that now. We already gave you some skills. I'm going to give you but in addition to the ones you got from OJT, you can do the normal leveling up stuff so you can read the PDF. But let's not do that right now. But think about that for the next session. But I want more HP. So, everybody roll.
Can someone remind me to do that because I'm not going to remember.
We'll do it. I'll do it. We'll coordinate it on Slack. You won't forget. Yeah. So, for HP, you just roll, it's D6, right? For everybody, for levels. And then warriors get a plus. So just give me some 2d6 rolls for everybody. And you can't go down. Your HP always goes up by at least one.
Probably not two.
Probably. The forward slash is before the.
Yeah, there it's better. 6 is better.
Okay, so Anthony, you're a 9. 6 is better. Yep, you're a 6 now.
Better. Way better.
Bester, you get a bonus. Warriors get a bonus, I think.
Yeah.
You get plus 1.
Oh, wow.
Each die. Izo, nice.
Izo.
So I get 8.
You're 8,
I guess.
Yeah. Yep, so you're 8.
I'm at 6 now, so that's not bad.
Not too bad. Okay.
Nope.
All right. I'll remind you guys on the Slack channel that you're all level 2s. And you get to pick, you'll get 3 additional points to spend on skills. And there's some other shit I'll look up later. But.
Ooh.
Yeah. A very nice job in the spaceport.
That was some solid. Who knew that swinging whiskey bottle could have such effects?
And you know, you get experience points, not necessarily for just killing things, but for how good you are at making shit up. So, inspiration points and experience points all together. All right, so you guys are on the Valkyries. You know, you're kind of learning. You know, it's you're basically traveling. The captain really hasn't told you too much about what your mission is. And you've been traveling for a couple of weeks. You've jumped along some pretty well-known, let me go back to the sector map here, actually. I have to go back there. So you've kind of jumped down. You've jumped down to here. So each of these jumps takes, a week. You've been doing the OJT. This system is, let me see what it's called. Dundo Muxakar. Not that that matters. You're stopping to refuel as you go along. you're not getting any shore leave. You know, you're basically kind of on the ship doing your training. Chief Officer Prentice is basically disgusted with all of you all the time, but especially Izo. But, you know, things have kind of settled into you still feel the newness of your positions, but you feel like, you know, with the training you've gotten, you're actually starting to be contributing members of the crew. You kind of don't really have a sense for, you know, what the ship does. And then the captain basically calls an all hands meeting. And, you know, so everybody shows up in the main area. So you're down here in, what did I do with that thing? You're in Dundo Muxakar. You've just left the spaceport around Pujara Jukmurt, which is kind of a heavy mining planet. There's definitely Grumman and Siemens offices all over this place. So, you know, Bester kind of like doesn't – he kind of knows where you are, but maybe he's not real happy to be there. But you're not left – you're not let off the ship anyway, so, you know, it really doesn't matter too much. So the captain says, calls everybody together into the common area and says, all right, well, you know, we've brought some new crew members in. We've gotten our mission from the hegemony. You know, it's a typical kind of crap mission we always get. Somebody, there's a rumor that there's a big cache of post-tech Terran Mandate, and the Terran Mandate is the before the Scream, what the basically the Empire of Humanity was called. It's like somebody's saying there's a big Terran Mandate stash out here in the sector down toward well, I'm going to say the southwest, but you know, in space it obviously isn't the southwest, but whatever direction that is. So the bosses want us to go check it out, right? They want to know, all power to the Duxon theocracy, and they want us to bring back whatever we can find. So, that's what we're going to do. All hail the scout service, he says, kind of, sarcastically. And Chief Prentice is sitting there rigidly in her seat with a scowl of disapproval on her face. He's like, so, you know, and welcome to the new crew members. You guys have seemed to integrate well. Anyone have any questions?
How are we going to find this cache?
Well, what's your name again? Science officer?
Science officer Rec, Halloran.
Rec sir. Halloran? You know, part of our mandate is like exploring. So they kind of said, go, you know, two stars to the right and keep going till morning. So that's the kind of shit we're going to do. So we don't really know where it is, but we're going to look for it.
I just love that faster than light travel is measured in time.
All right. Everyone dismissed. So you go back to your stations or your bunks, depending on what shift you're on, and you're off into the void. So Izo, the captain, tells you, all right, we're going to set a course for Agurpa, which is a two-hex. Nice. It's a two-hex jump, and we're leaving the Duxon hegemony. This jump may not be trivial, Izo. So the GM needs to find the section about jump.
Right? Andy needs to remember that Izo has Starfarer.
I do remember that. Which, tell me what Starfarer does, Izo.
Well, it does some stuff.
Yes.
That's the key point.
It does.
And it does some stuff better than the stuff is normally done.
That's correct. You get, there's some things that are automatic
something
for
about
you.
About spike points.
Yeah,
like
space travel.
Fewer spike points, let me see if I've got access to electronic version.
I can get it in a second. All right. Let me
look
at Starfarer.
My friend drop.
I've got it. Starfarer. You're level one?
Correct.
You automatically succeed at all spike drill related checks of difficulty 10 or less.
Right. That, like I said, I do that.
All right. So the basic difficulty.
Center left.
The basic difficulty for a spike drill is 7. This path is totally uncharted, which adds +6. We're gonna call it. It's gonna add +4. So you're at a difficulty of 11. It's 2 full hexes, so it's at a 12.
Okay.
All right, and your pilot skill is 0, but do you have an intelligence bonus?
My pilot skill is a 1, and my intelligence bonus is a +1.
Okay, so you get a +2. We're on an 11 with a +2. So why don't you give me a 2d6?
I just feel Nick, like, just leaning in, waiting to give me shit when I fail this roll.
Rex would never fail a roll. I don't know what you're talking about.
We're adding 2, correct?
Yep, +2.
1 for intelligence, 1 for piloting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I was all ready to roll on that table, but I'm okay if we don't. The Izo legend grows. Cool, calmly, and collectedly, Izo skillfully guides the ship down to what
did I succeed?
You did succeed. It was an 11.
It was a 12.
Whatever. It's an 11. It's a good roll. Okay. I'm going to call it a success. I maybe I'm wrong, but whatever.
Oh, 12.
Okay.
Jeez, he's happy.
Yeah, it's a tough jump, but all right. So you make it to the planet Agirpa, and there's a kind of an isolated planet there. There's an old spaceport that's not really not responding to your hails. The captain's asleep. I would say, Izo, you have the bridge.
Oh boy.
What skills did everybody pick up? Who picked up what?
Program.
Oh, what did you pick up, Breck?
Program.
Maybe you're on the bridge as well.
Yeah,
and, I picked up pilot.
Pilot. Yeah, Kuro's on the bridge, and then maybe, Bester's manning the guns with his shoot skill, and the main gunnery sergeant's off shift. So you're flying into the system, and you're not getting any response from the spaceport to your hails.
Uh-oh.
Is there any activity at the spaceport?
Okay, so you guys want to do a scan?
I'm using my sensors.
Okay. Give me a sensor scan. All right. Yeah. That's a trivial task. You've been trained to do it. So you give a sensor scan. There's not zero activity at the spaceport, but it seems like there's not enough. It's like not a dead spaceport, but it does not appear to be like the level of busyness you would expect from a functioning spaceport. It's like if you went to the current International Space Station and scanned it, you know, there'd be like 3 people walking around and, you know, 1 ship every 2 weeks. And right now there's nothing. There's no ships flying around. It's not dead, but it's very, very quiet.
This seems not good.
Our
sensor tell us anything else? Like, how about activity? Like heat signatures, like what do we,
okay. Do we have you do what you want, you're gonna like scan. So the main spaceport, orbits the planet Grimhill. You could consult the ship's, computer and see if there's any information on it. There isn't. Cause, you know, you're kind of jumping out of known space now. Maybe there's some rumors, but, you know, so you search the ship's computer and, you know, Grimhill was kind of hit pretty hard during the scream The government completely collapsed. It kind of went down to like an 18th century level. And there's been some efforts to kind of reestablish connection. And then someone, maybe Grumman Siemens, built the spaceport because there's probably some resources on Grim Hill that they're interested in. But the natives are still – it's still a little bit unsettled, right? They're still not fully up on the technology base. The spaceport, as far as you know, was like a corporate-sponsored thing. And maybe it's not so well supported anymore. And then all of a sudden, there are sensor alarms going off, and Breck, you look at your sensors and see that there are two ships approaching.
What can I tell about these ships?
All right. You do a scan. You can tell that they are. Scanning. Stand by. Scanning. this is what happens when it's a sandbox. I had an idea. You can tell the hull size. They have a frigate hull size, which is the same hull size that you do. They're coming at you fairly quickly. I guess hull class is the official name. Okay. There's no, they're too far away. They're kind of at a long distance. They haven't hailed you. They're coming at you rather aggressively at a pretty high rate of speed. And that's all you can tell. It's not like Star Trek where you can really tell if they've powered up weapons or not. You don't detect any missiles fired or anything, but they're approaching you rapidly, like they're going to be within weapon range in, maybe 5 minutes. And there's been no hails or no communications.
So Kuro would just look at Iso and say, "You like to talk? Talk to them, damn it."
You're gonna wake up the captain
first.
You're gonna wake up the captain.
Oh yeah, absolutely, wake up the captain.
Yep.
That's standard procedure.
Of course. So. Yep.
But while we're sitting here, Breck, we gotta wait for the captain to get here. Kuro's got a good point. We might as well talk to him.
You basically buzz the captain, and you get a communicator ping back, and he opens up a channel to the bridge. He's like, "Iso, what's going on?" You look at him. His eyes are bloodshot, and he's like, he doesn't have a shirt on, and his eyes are not focused on the screen in front of him where he's looking out at you. He's having a lot of trouble. He's like, "Iso, what?
Captain, we've completed our jump and we're being approached by two frigate sized.
Oh, I've just take care of it, Iso. I'm going back to bed.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, everybody.
All right. Can we recognize anything about these ships at all? I mean, is there anything that would
they're really too far away for like a visual scan? You're just getting them basically, like from their emissions. Okay. You can tell basically what I've told you. You can tell their hull class. You can tell they're moving pretty fast toward you. That's about it.
And they can see us unless they have crappy scanners.
Oh yeah, no, they're both vectored straight at you. Tight. It's pretty obvious that they can see you. They're coming in from
how close
kind of
are they? Flying together.
Oh, different. They're coming like, they're pretty wide apart. They're like converging on you from, maybe in a 30 to 60 degree arc. One's 30 degrees from the other. They're not like flying in formation or anything.
Got it.
Right. I'm going to start to maneuver in a way that if need be, I can just shoot between them.
Okay.
And accelerate away. So.
Okay. All right. So, are you going to attempt to hail them or no?
Sure, why not? We'll hail them.
Okay. So, who's at the comms? Is that you, Breck?
Sure.
It would make sense with your skills, but plus the programming, I think.
Yeah. I'm a talker.
Okay, so Izo, you're going to give Breck a command?
Go ahead, Breck. Hail them. Let's find out what they want to talk about.
Hello, this is the scout ship Valkris. We're investigating, and we're hoping you're having a really great day, because we are. And we're wondering, what are you doing?
And you get there's like static on your communicator screen, and then you see like a really, really bad picture, and it kind of is like, blood! We want blood! And then it shuts off.
We are actually fresh out of blood.
There's no open channel anymore. But good work, Breck.
Kuro instinctively reaches for a sword, realizing the futility of the situation.
So Izo, I mean, it is just a scout ship, but you might actually want to sound the alarm.
Oh yeah.
And go and get people to battle stations, yeah.
Oh yeah, battle stations.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this is ship combat. I'm figuring, what I'm thinking is we're going to start, and then at some kind of critical juncture, I'm going to fade to black.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So here, let's talk about how ship combat works, because I'm kind of excited about this in Stars Without Number. It's very, very kind of theater of the mind. It's very Star Trek-esque. So everyone takes a station. Okay. And what we do, we roll initiative for each ship. And then the captain, who in this case the acting captain is Izo, decides, and I'm just deciding that, who is going to go in what order. And the sections of the ship that are available, and you can tell me who's in which section, but I think it's going to be pretty obvious. There's engineering. Which maybe, maybe there's an NPC in engineering. There's bridge. There's gunnery and comms and captain. So I'm thinking, captain would be Izo. Nice. Comms would be Breck.
Yo.
Bridge would be Kuro. Or it's kind of piloting, but maybe since Izo's captaining, it makes more sense to have, you guys can decide. I would allow some switching out between those. And gunnery would be Bester. You guys agree?
It's all good.
Yeah, all right. So yeah. The way it works is, so the captain decides who's going to go in what order, and then everybody gets a set of actions. I really should give you guys, I don't know if it's available in the free version, but I can give you guys a copy of the GM screen. Because it has it has the regular combat action, and then it has the ship actions. But really what you want to, you generate, so there's ways to generate command points, and then other things spend command points. So like firing, one weapon takes two command points. And then there's things that generate command points, which are general actions usually. So like anyone can take the do your duty action, which generates one command point, right? That's like staying at your station doing what you want to do. So if like the comms officer says, I'm going to do your duty, you get one command point, which then someone else can spend. So, you guys can kind of tell me what you want to do. So like escape combat takes four command points. Evasive maneuvers takes, so in escape combat, the way that works, it's very, there's no map, right? You roll for each ship. We compare speeds. And so that's a modifier. And then if you get three escape combats on any one ship, you're no longer engaged with combat with that ship. Evasive maneuvers gives you a defensive bonus, that costs 2 CP. So these are things the bridge can do. Or pursue is 3 command points, and that's from someone trying to run away from you. Comms. So we'll go through these. You guys can, I don't want to get too much in detail. And, maybe you guys can tell me what you want engineering to do, or I can run engineering. Gunnery is fire all guns, fire one weapon, target subsystems. And then there is another action that anyone can take, which is above and beyond, which is you take a skill And you tell me what you're going to do, like something that's going to help with the combat. And you basically do a skill check against that skill with a 9. If you succeed, you get that skill level and command points, plus 1. So like if you have a skill that's 1, it's a way to get 2 command points. If you fail, you get minus 1 command points. So that's risky, but it might be a way to generate more command points. So let's give this a try. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
All right. So, why don't you, I guess, Izo, give me a, 1d8 roll. And do you have any, I think your pilot bonus applies. I'm just going to say it does.
Okay. So that's 1d8 plus 1.
See
what happens.
Damn. 9. All right. You guys are going first. Okay, so Rex, you decide what order people go in. And so there's bridge, gunnery, engineering, comms, and you.
Okay. Engineering could do...
engineering can boost engines, can do damage control, can do emergency repairs. None of those would apply. But you might want to pick engineering first because then they could either do their duty. And you can give orders to people, but they don't have to follow them, right? So I would definitely do engineering first.
Engineering, I need all the speed you can give me. So boost.
Well, you can't, though.
Why?
Because you don't have – if you say engineering, you got to generate command points. It takes 2 command points to boost engines, right? So don't do engineering first if you want to boost engines. What are you thinking, Rex? You're going to try and run away?
No, I was thinking that we will change course and go head-to-head with one of the ships. And as we fly by, I want Bester to target their drives and knock their drives out so they lose maneuverability.
Okay. Combat is more abstract than that. I mean, we can probably make that work. Probably what.
And I'm just narratively throwing out like.
Yeah. And I'm fitting that into the system. The way I would see that happening is you're trying to like engage one ship, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, you would be escaping from the other ship. So you would be trying to like escape combat. And so boosting engines would be a good thing. I'm telling you, though, escape combat takes 4 command points.
Okay.
So you can't really do both unless you get some bonus actions, right? So, somebody's going to have to generate command points before you can do either one of those things.
So let's have comms go first.
Okay. What do you want comms to do? Or what are you going to do, comms?
Well, how many command points do I have? Because I'd like to start crashing the systems of the other assist ships.
So right now, your ship has 0.
That's not good. No. Okay.
Somebody has to generate them first, right?
Okay. So how do we generate them?
You either do your duty.
Or.
Or you go above and beyond.
And right? If I go to...
But do you have any skills that are 1?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm just going to say that you do. Whatever skill, just for this combat. So,
yeah.
Like, whatever your skill is, your program skill, let's say it's just a 1 for this combat, right? So, if you tell me what you would do to go above and beyond to support the ship, and then I'll let you roll.
I'm going to reroute some systems away from life support briefly into electronic countermeasures to try to create a some confusion around the enemy ships.
I like it. All right. So now the downside is I don't think your command points can go negative, so maybe there isn't a downside. The downside is usually you lose a command point if you fail, but you're doing a 2d6 plus 2, and you're trying to beat a 9 or better.
Okay. Oh, plus 2, right. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Add another plus 2.
Oh, yeah. You know, your attempt to reroute life support kind of goes wrong, and for a second, all the life support systems shut off.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And everybody panics a little bit.
Did anyone pee themselves? It's totally cool if you did. It's not a problem.
All right, who's going next, Rexy? Comms didn't do so well.
How about Kuro on the ridge?
Okay.
We'll just white-knuckle her station.
She's going to do her duty?
Yeah, do it, Judy.
All right.
I mean, how far out are we from getting shot at? You said a minute ago we're 5 minutes out of combat.
I would say
now locked in.
You're in weapons range now.
So she's just going to hold and encourage Bester to get his guns online.
Okay. All right. So there's one command point. Who's going next, Rex?
My choices left now are me,
Captain,
Engineering,
and Gunnery. Yep.
Bester, you're up.
Okay. So, what do I do?
The only downside with going with Gunnery now is that he can't fire because it takes two command points to fire one weapon. But, what you could do, Bester, is you could say, I'm doing my duty to get one command point, or you could try and go above and beyond and generate two command points. But if you fail, you're going to lose the one command point you have.
You clipped out there for a second. What?
Okay. So, and I also understand it's about, 4 a.m. there.
It's 2 minutes to 6 a.m., so.
Holy crap. So you're probably what you want to do. So you've got a choice. There's an action called do your duty, which is basically manning your station, and that will generate one command point so that the next person to go will have a net total of two. Yeah. You could also try and go above and beyond, which is where you would roll. The problem is if you fail that roll, you lose a command point. If you pass that roll, you're going to get
something called exert, which I'm not entirely sure if it's useful in this situation.
It seems more physical, but let me just check. Let me just see what it says. Exert. Yeah, physical exertion. Climb, jump, throw. I think if there was boarding, maybe we could argue it would work, but yeah, I don't think so.
No, okay. Then I'll man my station and generate a command point.
Alright, so you've got Captain left. And what else is left, Rex? Engineering?
Engineering.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you've got two command points.
So what might make a difference here? Or who's making the decision?
Rex is,
okay.
Yep.
So with my own station, what can I really do there?
You have into the fire, except a crew loss crisis, which you don't have any crises yet, so that doesn't... you can keep it together, which is always available, which means that when you get a hit, instead of taking the damage, you can take a crisis.
Okay.
Oh, hadn't read this before. Support department. Choose a department. One action department takes will require two fewer command points. You can do this once per round. So what you could do is you could choose engineering, you've already got two command points. We can retcon this because I didn't realize that. You could you could go first and then gunnery and then he could fire all guns if you wanted, right? So you could make fire all guns cost one less or two less. So it would only cost one.
Let's do that then.
Okay. All right. So we're retconning this. We had one going in to captain actions. You choose support gunnery. And so then it only costs one command point. So, Nick, are you going to fire all guns?
Yep.
Okay. Are you you're going to target one of the ships, I imagine, with all your weapons?
No, I'm going to target all. Yes, I will.
All right. So you have a sandcaster and you have a plasma gun. What did I decide they were rocking over there? I said frigate hulls, right? I did have an idea of what those guys were rocking.
That would be larger, probably faster, and better guns.
Not really, actually.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Okay, I got it. All right, so let's just do the sandcaster first.
Okay.
So yeah, your shoot skill is at zero, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, so we're rolling on shoot. I have their AC. The Sandcaster... Oh, it's probably on my... this isn't on the GM screen? That's okay. I'll have to add to this GM screen here. All right, it's going to be a D20 roll.
Yep.
And you're going
if you have
a dex modifier or an intelligence modifier?
I have a plus one, okay, and so I have a minus one in intelligence. So
yeah, but you take the best one. So it's plus one, so it's for dex. You get to pick which one you use. One. You're going to use your dexterity and just turn your brain off. All right, there it is.
It's already off, believe me. So roll D20 plus one.
Yep. Roll it.
14.
Ooh, the Sandcaster hits. Let's say the ship on the left. Roll a 2d4.
A 2d4, let's see. Roll 2d4.
All right. It doesn't appear to do a lot of damage, but there definitely something happened to that ship. That left ship. It had some armor, and it definitely shuddered a little bit. All right, so why don't you fire your plasma beam? It's another D20.
Yeah. And plus one again, or?
Yep, same.
Yep.
Wow, nice. And then the plasma beam, actually, I think is, I seem to remember, I turned the page. I think it's 3D6, but let me check.
3d6.
Yeah, the plasma, the sand thrower was something to take up. Yeah, it's 3d6. And it's armor piercing 10, which is a lot nicer.
Yeah. 3d6. Okay. Roll 3d6.
Yes. Yes, drunk boy. Wow. Okay.
I love it. Okay.
That's good. 12. All right. So let me, I should have written some of this. This is the problem with, sandbox stuff. Let's see. Oh, yeah. That left approaching ship, as you're looking down your ship, I mean, it's trailing atmo. It's still coming at you, but it's definitely wounded. All right. Did you go through all, I think that was all your departments, right, Rex?
I'm not sure we hit
engineering. Yeah, engineering. Is there anything you want engineering to do? The only thing. Go ahead.
If they do their duty, will that give me a command point to carry over?
They don't carry over.
Okay.
So just remember that for next time. Not that I don't think it would have mattered. I mean, you did get a shot off. It was pretty effective.
What?
All right. So the other ships are going to fire. Okay. And what? I got to look at your ship, too. Your ship has some nice armor. It's a little spotty in places, so maybe it's not as good as it was coming off the dock, but here, let's do, so the ship on the left, it looks like it has a plasma beam as well, and it shoots at you. Oh, and it's like, you must have completely phased those guys. They're, nervous or something, and they just completely miss. It's like, it's not even close. The ship on the right has a little bit better focus. Let's see how they do. Oh.
Damn.
Oh, that might sting a little.
Ouch.
So remember, you can always take the action and you can decide after we'd roll for damage.
Evasive action?
it's too late for evasive action, but you can not take damage and you can do a crisis instead. It's probably a little too early for that. Armor, AC, oh yeah, that's a hit. Okay. Yeah, that ship that you didn't target just basically had you locked on and shoots. So I'm gonna roll as a GM roll, so you won't see it, suckers. Well, probably watch this, it'll show up anyway. Nope. Okay. But you know, you feel the ship shudder. You feel like the armor absorbed most of the impact of that plasma beam, luckily. So, you know, no systems damaged as far as you can tell. All right. I'm thinking right now, with combat just beginning and we're getting a feel for it, that we're going to fade to black.
Ooh,
what do you guys think?
I
think it's about the time.
I'm already faded to black.
And I think people are fading. Yeah,
right
I can
now.
Feel it. And so we got a little bit of taste of combat, but we'll open up, assuming we can find a time to do session two, we'll open up with round two of combat versus the Reavers. I mean, the unknown ships that are attacking you out of nowhere for no apparent reason. While your captain is drunk.
While he's drunk. Yeah, I'm getting a definite, like, the dude vibe off of our captain.
Where's my carpet? Hide the room together.
I had no pre-plans, but when Rex started talking about his shorts, I'm like, then I started, like, going down this path, and it was like, okay, let's just roll with it.
Awesome.
All right. Did you guys enjoy that?
That was awesome.
So much.
Sounds good.
All right. We can get on the Slack channel and try and arrange another session, hopefully. I'm definitely up for it. I thought it was great. I've got ideas. I didn't even get to do some of the stuff I want to do. Which I think you guys will also enjoy. Like, I've got little nuggets of stuff, and I'm trying to just work them in. But we went in different directions, like the whole captain thing. I had another idea for getting you guys in the space combat, but we went with this, and it worked great.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for rocking it.
All right, boys.
Thank you, guys. You all did a great job.
Evening or morning, depending on where you are in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, thunderstorm coming in overhead, so this is going to be a perfect time to go to bed for the vampire, apparently.
Nice. I think you'll sleep well. I think you'll sleep through it. That's my feeling.
Without any problems, I think.
All right,
talk
boys.
Later, boys.
Yep, good night. Mike. You guys take care.
Good night, guys.
Yep. Anthony.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good-ish.
Good.
Excellent.
Anthony, what time is it in your neck of the world?
It's 9 a.m.
Well, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you too. I'm sure it's a lovely morning.
Nighttime for me, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have it the worst this time, Rex.
Oh no, I totally get Nick's dedication to the cause.
Well, so. I don't know if it's dedication. I don't know if that's the word I'd use.
Try to be so generous.
Yeah, you're good that way.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Nicholas. Have you squared your phone calls away, Doc?
Huh?
Did you square away your phone call? Did you sort it out?
I'm getting an echo. I am probably going to get another call at some point. But we'll just deal with that when it happens. It shouldn't take me too long to scream at someone and close it out. Yeah. Most of these problems.
Perfect.
Hey.
Hey,
man.
Hey, we can hear you.
Great.
There's an echo for someone.
I think that Nick threw roll 20 because I'm looking at the 20.
Oh, hang on. because it has.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Hang on.
If only we had someone who was a computer expert.
Yeah, if only.
I thought he was going for the whole max headroom thing.
That is,
I was okay with that.
Yeah.
No, why would I do that?
Very good. Very, very good. Man, max headroom, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Well, I watched that a couple of years ago. It hasn't aged that badly, actually. It's,
Okay.
Alright, we need to get Trip. And I'm assuming Trip's character knows your little secret there, Bester.
No, Rex. Rex.
Okay. Yeah.
I
Izo does.
I think, but I think, well, anyway, Trip knows now too. he was, it's good.
Oh,
all good. We gotta have connections between everyone.
Yeah, I got lost in the characters because people were putting up blank sheets and stuff.
Well, that's where,
and
don't
Rex was
no,
doing a
no
very
worries.
Good job of stitching it together. I was like, I know Nick's character is an angry minor man, and I know my character, and...
No worries. We're going to stitch it together at the beginning here, and it could go off in completely different directions. That's what, that's how this stuff works.
I caught Rex's character. Rex did a great job of just stitching everything together.
Well, thank you. GMing helps. There's no doubt about that.
Definitely, yeah.
No, I'm so glad you're doing that SCUP or whatever, because the Numenera system just, it didn't click for me, but you're killing it, SCUP. Love your work, big fella.
Rex does a good job in both systems, if you ask me.
Oh, no, well, he does a great job. But that system was just... not for me.
Interestingly enough, it's not really for me either.
Numenera. I think I'm sensing that from you.
But for the fact that Jason and Duck and Sammer and Ty, when he was in, just did such a great job of bringing those characters to life. I feel like, I mean, I don't think I'm using probably 80% of the system. Not that there's not much system there to start with. It's just really, I'm just playing with these characters and throwing stuff at them and watching them do stuff. And theoretically, there's an adventure in the background that we sort of should be doing something about. But I'm like, whatever. These guys are having fun. So, but I think the next time I'm on the Cabal podcast, I may talk about Numenera. I think it's a good system. It's just not a system for me. But I think for a lot of people, particularly if they just started to dabble in role playing, I think it's light enough but robust enough to let them do some fun stuff. So.
Yeah, no, I mean I'm not bagging on it at all. It's like soccer. I don't have much interest in watching soccer, but if someone said, "Hey, let's go kick a ball around," I'd join in, sort of thing. So. But it's also the world. Seems a bit weird and uninspired.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, and actually that was my biggest hang up was the setting was just I couldn't really connect with it, and I don't think that I do weird well as far as like presenting it and creating that
you did a pretty good job in Cthulhu. Sorry to talk over you, but you
don't
did
feel
a
like
pretty
that's
good
weird.
Job in Cthulhu. Weird. No, it's campy weird.
Well, it's there's weird. I mean, there's Jeff Vandermeer weird, the new weird, which is one kind of weird. I think the Cthulhu thing, I think you're doing a great job. I enjoy those a lot.
Oh, you mean Ty's game?
Yeah. I don't know if we've heard an episode where you haven't been in yet, Rex.
Oh, Rex?
I heard you dropped out.
Yeah, it's only the most recent one I think he hasn't been in. It's just one.
Yep.
I can't remember.
It just, the Ty's got the last episode I was in up, correct, Duck? I don't want to spoil stuff for anybody.
I have no idea. Did you guys see the episode with the play in Italy?
No, I think they were running around in Italy last time.
I haven't heard that yet, so shut the fuck up.
All right, I'm not going to spoilerize it. It's definitely a must. It's a must listen.
Yep.
And you know, the thing about Numenera is whether or not you like the world, the thing that's going on with Jason and my characters is
awesome.
It is awesome. It is awesome. I am excited about it, and yet it does cause me some, I don't know. It's just weird. I love it. I love the, it's kind of uncomfortable and awesome at the same time.
Are you feeling a little bit neurotic?
Do you know what, you know what's going on between Jason and I?
I've heard some things.
You mentioned on the round table that there was a bit of humpity-pumpity going on.
Uh-huh. Nothing's actually happened, but, I mean, it's literally like our characters are kind of circling the humpity-humpity table. And,
Well, that's an interesting...
interesting
something,
visual.
It is very interesting. God damn it, Trip. I cannot, I'm trying to get Skype to work. I've got him on Skype, but it's not him apparently.
It's not
some other dude's like, I don't know what these guys are talking about. It's getting weirder.
We got some other Trip in it.
So the thing with Jason and I, so I'm waiting to see if Trip responds to this contact request, I feel like, let's see if I can add him in. No, that's not what I want to do. God damn you, Skype. It won't let me add him to the call.
Well,
should we drop the call and restart? Or
yeah, we could try that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let me try that. All right. I'll call you guys right back.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. It is the weirdest thing. I can't even, like, now I have his other person as a contact, but it doesn't even let me add him to the group. Like, everything else, everyone else has, I don't know. So, like, I can call him. I can call him, but
could
only
he,
him.
Could he call all of us?
He would have to have all your contact stuff.
But
we could try that. I don't know. It's just weird. And,
he's got me because he pops up as a contact.
Is he showing online? Because I have one. Yeah, people aren't showing. I've got two for him.
I don't have him, but I mean,
try. Here, I'll put it in roll 20, or I don't know. I'll let him do it. And by the way, work just called me, so I'll you. shit.
Good for you.
I'm gonna put you guys. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Don't ask me for advice. I hate Skype. I don't even understand how to make a phone call in Skype.
It's so bad. So bad.
Skype has started out shitty and has.
And then Microsoft
worse.
Took it over. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll be back, guys. I'll be back.
The only thing I have to say about Skype is if I was ever to take charge.
Took a nap, woke up. And, let's just say that whoever does the cleaning at our office must have had a bad day the next day. It was bad. It was really bad.
Was so, that the to tell a Craig?
Yeah.
I miss that.
I got it set up, and then I got sick, and then I had a shit ton of stuff to do with work because we had integration issues. I'm gonna be in town now Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So I'm thinking about doing something tomorrow night and Monday, Tuesday night. But we'll see. Hopefully nothing breaks. The thing is, I mean, the conference room there is perfect for that kind of thing, especially now when I've got the overhead camera working as well. Because you can get like, so you get a view like of the, from the front, so basically see sitting agonizing over which camera is which. And then you can actually see the map from the top. So, it's pretty neat.
Nice. And who do you end up playing with?
I was going to solo it. That was the thing.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I soloed Totoro Creek, for a bit. The problem is that the wargamers that I've met so far here in Sweden are the kind of people who wouldn't get invited to a CCon ever, right?
All right.
So, they would go to Consim World instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Grumpy old men.
And not shower.
Oh,
well, they're younger ones as well, but you know they're not fun to be around at all.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a social issue more than anything else. So I got a couple of guys I like to play games with, but they're sort of Euro gamers, and they want to play, they like to play these isolated
Euros.
So when I
multiplayer solitaire,
and terraforming Mars, which I hate.
The components are so classy.
It's fucking and the game is shit. So I just sort of punch it every time I see it, and it's like every single time, and I swear they're doing it to piss me off now.
Did you guys? I hate to interrupt this rant, but did you guys see the trip on Roll20? He posted his Skype ID. Can someone try adding him and calling him, or see if they can add him to the group call? So fucking annoying. It's just Trip Ritter with no spaces. If you're new to Roll20, the chat went like there's a bar on the right.
Yeah.
And there's a chat window. There, the buttons on the top switch between the different sidebars. So, the chat window is the two.
Are you adding them in?
Let's see if I can.
You probably have to send him a contact request. Do you have him? Try it.
I sent him a contact request. Let's see if I
tried to add him, I think.
Which is...
Somebody's
all fucked up.
I don't think he's going to... That's like not his account for some reason.
Wait.
Here he is. Trip.
Talk. Talk, bitch.
Come on.
Join the call.
Hey.
Got it.
There he is. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Thank God.
There y'all.
Scott.
that was annoying.
Let's play Microsoft for everything.
That's what that plane that you built, the AI's name should be Skype.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I've already got names, though. We'll see.
Oh, I mean, that's fine.
We'll see. It's all, you know, I'm doing this.
Or it could just be an insult in the world. You can call someone a Skype.
No, yeah, we could. Oh, yeah. No, I'm all for that. Sure. We could call him a Skyper. Could be like, you know, the worst insult. Call Bester a Skyper and he'll like unload on you with his hammer. Right. All right. Well, and during that time I've called my work and yelled again. And it's probably going to come back around because I told them, anyway, there was yelling. So I told them I refuse to talk to a technician. I will only talk to an engineer because I've been burned before and we'll see what happens.
Oh, this should be fun.
Yeah. So that's probably going to blow up in my face too.
How bad could it get on a Saturday night?
I don't know. We'll see. So I poured myself some more Black Barrel and we're moving on. All right. So what did I say we were going to do? Oh, that's right. We're going to
tie all this stuff together.
We're going to tie all this stuff together. So, what I thought we would do, and you guys give me feedback, we've kind of talked about it. There is the free version of this system is pretty.